Good morning, everybody.
We interrupt this alert for another alert.
It's a Central State special report.
Ooh, ooh, boy, is today a doozy of an episode. Thank you for listening in to this special edition of the Ounces of Information podcast, brought to you by Central States Beverage Company. My name is Aaron Robinson, podcasting from the CS Bev Marketing Studios. John Kane, general manager and driving force behind all operations for High Life Sales and Central States Beverage Company, and also friend of the podcast, is hanging it up after 37 years in the industry. So, as you can imagine, 37 years lends an awful lot of memories and an awful lot of stories. So, when we approached Mr. Kane about doing a sort of farewell podcast, he knew that it was going to be about memories. But what he didn't know was a pretty good lineup of people who have memories of their own would be coming in to record those memories with him. You're going to hear an awful lot of the same characteristics. Larger than life. Authentic. Bombastic. Lights up the room. And all of them are true. But for someone who has spent more years in the industry than someone like myself has spent on this planet, just listening into these conversations with people who have forgotten more about this industry than most of us will ever know is a farewell send-off that is, at least as best I can get it, a worthy tribute to Mr. John Kane. I remember when I first got into the industry, starting at Central States Beverage Company in 2013, my second day here, I walk into Mr. Kane's office with Mr. Doug Clark at 6:45, 7 a.m., and was immediately greeted with a personality that definitely didn't lend to the fact that it was 6:45, 7 a.m., more like 3 p.m. happy hour. And John Kane was an incredibly warm, authentic personality. Here we go with the buzzwords already. Talking about how we did things and how Central States operates out there and how it's people like me that make that happen. And you hear that kind of thing from company to company. But listening to John talk, something rarer occurred in that you also felt that. Of course, again, reminding everyone, 7 a.m., John Kane then proceeded to crack open a bottle of beer for a brand we were looking to bring to Kansas City. I don't even remember the brand, to be honest with you. I just remember that I was drinking beer at 7 a.m. on my second day in this job with none other than John Kane. Mr. Kane, I know you recorded a good chunk of this with me, and you're going to hear this a lot when you're listening back to it. For the record, I also threw in some more people, but I can't begin to thank you enough for not only the opportunities that you have given me in this industry, but the memories and knowledge that I have gained along the way to this point. So without further ado, Mr. Kane, this podcast is for you.
Oh, gosh. Giggle, giggle, giggle.
This is a special Ounces of Information edition podcast with Central States Beverage Company. I'm your host, Aaron Robinson, podcasting live to me anyway, here in the marketing building. It's definitely not live for you because, you know, it's going to take me time to break this down and edit it and get it all ready and produce it.
You're in the studio. You're not in the building.
But it's so easy to do recording and producing with the guest that I have today who, let's be real, needs no introduction, but I'll do it anyway. Mr. John Kane, how are you?
I am fine this morning, Aaron. Thank you so much for allowing me to come in here. It's 21 days. You're going to ask me how many days? 21 calendar days, and I believe there's 10 working days remaining.
How many hours?
The hours are insignificant. Sometimes it's a 12-hour day, sometimes an 8-hour day. We'll see how it goes the next 3 weeks. Lots to do.
Very fair, very fair. I appreciate you taking time out of your days left to come in and podcast with me.
I've been looking forward to this, to be honest with you. I have.
Me too. This is exciting for me because, you know, not only is it the final countdown podcast, is it the John Kane podcast special, but also you are the first ever second guest that I've had in this podcast. So you've done this before.
Oh, another first.
Yeah, and now you're back. So I get to ask a lot of questions that, like, I don't get to ask anybody else because it's their first time.
You can follow up with anything you want to ask. I will reflect back on my 37-year career with High Life Sales Company, and 2 years of that with Miller Brewing Company, and 5 years before that with Procter & Gamble. Can you believe that?
Oof. Procter & Gamble and...
Three jobs my entire career.
Gracious. We'll get into that in a second. I have one question that I immediately need to get off my back, though, because it's been bothering me. All these times I've had guests in here to record this stuff, through COVID when we were masked and sanitized, and now through, you know, everybody's vaccinated, you're vaccinated, I'm vaccinated, we're doing this like normal.
Mm-hmm.
Is that chair comfortable?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I know nobody, it's a podcast, you can't really see the situation we have here, but you're in a couch, and that couch is kind of sunk a little bit, so I was curious.
I am just as comfortable as we be. I've got back here in the corner, I'm laid back at the pillow on my back, I'm like...
Okay.
I can sit here and talk all day.
That's honestly, John, that's the only question I had today. Is that chair comfortable?
I'm in good shape, Aaron.
No, okay, good deal. Well, then, you know, let's talk about it. Let's talk about the 37 years here with Central States and starting in 1984. I don't mean this in a disrespectful way. You've been with this company longer than I've been alive.
I feel your age, though. That's the difference.
That's good. That's good. That's
you
good.
Sit back and think about that. I think that life is dictated how you live it. I think life is dictated how you feel about doing things you wanted to do. I don't feel the age that I am. I don't. I don't act the age that I am. It's going to be interesting in the days to come, how things continue to progress with me as I sit back and reflect upon my career.
Sure.
And all the things that we've done and all of the great things we've seen happen over the years and how the business has changed and how people have changed. And yet, significantly, we're the same ones still here doing business every day like we have been, but like I said, for me, for the last 37 years.
Well, let's start some of that reflection then. You know, talking 1984.
August 24th, 1984, I walked in. It was interesting. I was working for Miller Brewing Company at the time with Philip Morris. And I was on track. Matter of fact, I was getting promoted to become the marketing manager for the Mountain Region. And there was going to be a significant amount of traveling that would be taking place at that particular time. I saw it was going on, being with the brewery for 2 years and watching some of the folks that I was involved with day-to-day operations. And they fly out on Monday, come back on Thursday. I just had my third child, Kevin. So I had three kids, 5'3", and 5'2", and 1", if that's how it went. And Pat was just starting to do some stuff. And at that time, Mike Magoulas, who became a general manager of High Life Sales Company in May of 1984. Now, Mike and I crossed paths. He was with the brewery for 6 years before he left. He saw the same thing, the traveling, the grind. He had a family. Unfortunately, the family thing didn't pan out, ended up in a divorce. He just looked at different things, took things differently. And I started thinking the same thing. You're in the beer business. Late nights. I don't want to leave on Monday, come back on Thursday, be a part-time dad and husband on the weekends and take off on Monday again. So Mike started working on me about coming down to a High Life Sales Company to be the sales manager. He took over, and we were doing 1.4 million cases of beer. I remember that as I walked in. Made the agreement. It was interesting because I went from Procter & Gamble, went to Miller Brewing Company, and now I'm going to work for a family-owned operation that I had some significant knowledge of due to the fact I called on them. I knew about them. I knew about the Moss family. And I knew about Mike. But I wanted a new challenge and do some things differently, and I wanted to be around my family. So I pulled the plug with Miller Brewing Company, told them the marketing thing. Thank you very much. And that was the best move I ever made. Walked in there that day full of piss and vinegar, as you would say, because they weren't. It was more an office of just a hum versus John came walking in, we're going to start doing things differently. And, of course, the coat and had the tie on and all that kind of good stuff. I walked in, took over the office, and I told myself, today I start changing this place. We did. Mike Magoulas sat down. We and I sat down. We came up with a plan, what we wanted to do. Here's my vision. I brought my experience in for Procter & Gamble, looking how P&G looks at things going to retail, which the beer people really don't look at that time. Calling on chains as a distributor, which was unheard of, doing things just differently across the board that the beer side had not seen. Everybody was kind of stagnant. Everything was left based upon what the brewery guys could do, advertising, and everything else kind of took care of its place. So all of a sudden you come walk in and look at the supervisors. What are you in charge of? What do you do? How do you supervise your people? How many calls? What's your call frequency? What do you do? And said, like, I started changing everything. So we were sitting at 1.4 million cases, and that was 1984. And that was primarily 16 packages of beer. That was it, including kegs. Then we started doing cooler sets. I was doing resets at grocery stores before resets were even thought about in the beer business.
So that was unheard of.
It was unheard of. We started doing that. We saw the necessity of what was going on with these chains. At that time, you go back in Kansas City. Kansas City was primarily a pretty big chain market. You had Milgram's, which was with Save Mart's. You had Fleming Foods in here with all the folks from Thriftway and such. You had the start of Price Chopper. You had Food Barn, Safeway. You had a big conglomerate with 7-Eleven here in Kansas City with a district office. Of course, Quick Trip. And then you had U-Totem, big headquarters here in Kansas City. Same thing in the on-premise. You had Gilbert Robinson to go call on. You had the guys from Pizza Hut to call on. And then I just started picking one at a time. Where do I need to go focus on? And we started working the market, put more responsibility on the supervisors, getting the drivers to get in with what we wanted to do. And I tell you what, we just went from 1.4 million. And when Mike Magulis left, this is 1990, we're selling 3 million cases of beer.
Goodness gracious.
We own the market. I mean, we own the market from everything from cooler sets to the ads for the holidays to the features that were going on in the convenience stores. The guys were executing at a high rate in terms of good display activity out there. They were making sales calls. On premise, I owned all the price over the Pizza Huts. Before it was Bud and it was Miller Lite. All of a sudden it was Miller High Life and Miller Lite.
Ah.
And you don't think, well, they only sell 2 kegs a week. Well, multiply that by 50 Pizza Huts at that time, the Red Roofs.
Sure.
It was pretty significant. You knew all the guys from the Pizza Hut. Then all of a sudden this little group opened up called local group called Applebee's, open here in Kansas City. Same thing. Get to know the people who's in charge of that. Get to know the district managers. Guess what? We own all the taps at all the Applebee's until they went all franchise and corporate and everything like that. But they were a mainstay here in Kansas City for a long time when they first opened up and sold a tremendous amount of beer. So the whole big thing is like I said, to me, the beer business is still FaceTime. The beer business is still a relationship you have between you and the decision makers you have to deal with day in and day out. It could be the guy that directs, looks over the chains. It could be the guy that runs the liquor store on the corner, or the guy's got the independent convenience store around the corner from him. It is all about relationships.
So we talk about industries and things that are resistant to change, not necessarily in a bad or good way, but like talking about the economy. Everybody, the running gag here is that, you know, if the economy's great, people drink. If the economy's bad, people drink. So we're in the industry of resistance, and you're saying that we are a company of resistance as well. Like in an industry where things are constantly changing, going online, telesales, internet sales, not really talking with the customer.
Right.
Our whole shtick is making that the focal point.
If you take a look at how things evolved. And back in 1984, and here it is, it's 2021. Guess what? The beer still goes in on a two-wheeler from the truck to the retail account. In today's world, it might go from a pallet now to the back dock, but it's still, you take it off the pallet, it goes on a two-wheeler, and it goes into the cooler. It's still done the same way. It will never change. I don't see how it could ever change. That's just part of the execution that we have to do each day.
Sure.
To take care of our customers. You got to have the folks, the guys on the line to sell it, to deliver it, to market it, and to make sure that the people understand that why our beers are so much better than everybody else's out there. I just go back and take a look at that whole situation that came to play. We're sitting out at the Kingpin making all these chain calls. There's another group called Bob's IGA, and they're no longer in existence. Milgram's is no longer in existence. Food Barn is no longer in existence. So you talk about how you have to adapt as to who the players become, and the players became Associated Grocers through Sunfresh. Through Price Chopper. All of a sudden, a group from the West Des Moines come flying in here, opening their first store in Raytown called Hy-Vee. And things just begin to evolve. And the thing about it is, then you have to evolve with the changes that take place. And I think, without a doubt, this company, of all the years I've been with them, we've done a tremendous job of being on top of that game, changing what we have to do to make sure that we continue to expand our portfolio, but at the same time, we stay in contention with everything that's going on.
Sure.
So it was unique. It's been interesting to see how things come to play when light beer first came out. Then we saw the ice beer phenomenon come out. And then we saw the non-alcohol thing came out early back in the late 80s. And everything, oh, everybody's going non-alcohol, and saw a little spurt, and it kind of filtered away. There's been so many things everybody's tried to get in and get out, and it's the mainstay still comes to this. Light beer still dictate, 65% of the business going on in terms of the beer world. This craft beer thing that came out with Boston Beer Company back in 1992. I remember when they came and talked to us. What's this craft beer thing? We had Boulevard. We're just getting things ready to get rolling and sure. Watch how all that's evolved.
I want to know how ahead of its time was Zima.
It was out of its time, no doubt about it. It was. You sit back and look at it. They sold some, and I remember saying, "What is this stuff? It just sits here." And then they came up with the gold, and it killed it. They would have stayed with Zima alone as the refreshing malt beverage.
Right.
They probably would have kicked in a whole new category, but they killed it when they came out with something that was inferior, and it just destroyed the whole thing, the Zima flavor altogether. I thank the marketing guys that were in charge of doing that program for folks over at Coors for getting that thing happen the way it did. But the same thing with Blue Moon. When Blue Moon first came out, everybody go, what's this stuff? And now you take a look at Blue Moon. It's the number one craft beer in the country.
Right.
And it's not slowing down. It's just a great product. People enjoy drinking it. My gosh, I just think of all this stuff. Between the craft beer phenomenon that we've... craft beer, we're doing pretty good. All of a sudden, you got Boulevard Brewing Company.
Mm-hmm.
And we picked up when we came over here in 2007. We were selling 400,000 cases of Boulevard when I first stepped in here. And within, 6 years, we had up to a million cases.
It's crazy. I remember that millionth case.
And I remember sitting down. I'm going to bring this up in my meeting with the folks at Boulevard a week from Tuesday. But I remember sitting down at that time with John McDonald and Bob Sullivan at Gerard Moss's house, because they want to know what we're going to do as far as handle their beers and everything like this as we were buying out Big Sky. And I looked at him right in the face and said, I will double your volume, and it will happen faster than if you would wait with the same group. I assure you that. Of course, it's John Cain's speaking. Lo and behold, I got him up to a million cases.
Here we are.
And it's going to be back on track to be over a million again this year, which is great.
Through this tenure, of nearly 40 years, you've overseen a lot of changes in the craft industry and a lot of changes in the beer industry. Where do we kind of see this stuff going? Like, if I were to give you some headlines 5 years from now, true or false, seltzer dies?
No.
100%.
100%. Let's look at June. We just finished June. Seltzer business, total company, all flavors combined, just that 19% of our total volume. It's not going to go away.
That's crazy, yeah.
The young consumers, and there's some older ones, but the young consumers have definitely put their arms around it. They like the one-handed calories. They want to know what's inside the can. They like the ease of drinking and the flavor profile. It's extraordinary to the taste buds, everything everybody enjoys doing. And then you got Miller Lite, you got Coors Light, you got Bud Light, you got Ultra, and they're still doing very, very well. But I've never seen a phenomenon like I've seen with this seltzer water.
Not at all. And it's delicious, by the way.
And we sold just at 95,000 cases of seltzer last month.
Whoa.
So it could be a million case category for us by the time the year ends, if it continues to excel. It has not excelled like the double. But the pandemic had a lot to do with that last year. Supply now we have, so it'll be interesting to see what happens the second half of the year. Because last year, after this week, we were out of everything. We had no beer. And we haven't caught up since then. We still can't get beer. But that's just it's the nature of the beast of how I've seen this thing changed. And seeing how the profiles of different people who run the brewers, how it's all changed to go along with it. That's probably the biggest thing. Seeing how when I started with Miller Brewing Company, a guy named John Murphy was the president of the company. He was a marketing guru. He's the one that got Miller Brewing Company on the map, going back to Miller time. When it's time to relax music for Miller High Life, took Miller High Life from the champagne bucket to the lunch bucket. It became a blue-collar beer. It was talking about going home at the end of the evening, after you got off work, a reward for working, have a great day, have yourself a High Life.
Sure.
Well, watch that thing take off, and all of a sudden you come out with Miller Lite, watch that thing take off. And then, like I said, it's everything that goes along. You have Murphy, a marketing guy, in charge of the brewery. And then I started seeing the changes taking place when Murphy retired, then became like the operations guy.
Yeah.
The operations guy is about, I need to cut cost instead of putting money back into the marketing piece. I saw that starting. Then we had Mr. Goldstein came in. And he was an old sales guy. He got everything back on track again, marketing-wise and such. And then he left. And another operations guy came in. Then a CEO or a CFO guy came in. It was like boom, 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 and the brewery lost its direction. They just didn't seem to continue the wave at which they picked up because of the changes. And at the same time, they were going through marketing people, VP of marketing, left and right. Everybody's trying to add their own little pizzazz to it. And I watched the downfall of something that was so wonderful that we had going, and it was so retail activated, and watch how that thing went from the highs to the lows. And the marketing piece we had with the lows back in those days was coming out with multi-packs, going from a 24 to a 30, from a 12 to a 15, but you're selling it for the 30 for a 24-pack pricing, a 15-pack for a 12-pack pricing, and watching your profitability just erode immediately due to the fact the cost associated with it, plus you're giving away free beer. You know, it's not a marketing piece that works long-term. I just made a decision back when I remember sitting down with the board of directors. I said, we started looking at these multi-packs. I said, got to get out of them, guys. This is killing us. I said, we can sit here. We can be the first one. We make the changes. We got out of 30-packs, went into 24s. I have not looked back since then. I'm an anti-multi-pack general manager because I know what it does to you in terms of how it erodes your profitability, how it erodes your bottom line. And you all of a sudden, you don't have money to reinvest and do the things you need to do, like buy trucks. Get good people like yourself. Do things in the marketplace to help us propel and sell more beer. I just saw it eroding away. And like I said, I've seen a lot of people come and a lot of people go at the supplier side. And it's probably the most significant thing. And as I always said earlier, we'll always be here. We will always be here. Everybody else will change coming to see us, but we will always be here. And that's what the importance of distributorship is to a supplier like Molson Coors, to Boulevard, because we're in front of the retailers. They see our faces. They see our trucks. They see how we execute. They see our signs that we make for them. All the things we do on the grassroots, we are the guys to come to. And the other guys, like sometimes they get in your way.
That's putting it nicely.
But we need our suppliers. We cannot evolve without our suppliers. There's no ifs or buts about it. And we've got great relationships with all of our suppliers. You've got 7 suppliers that do 92% of our business.
Sure. Yeah.
And those 7 got to be humming in all 12 cylinders. They got to, or this place won't be around here. But it's amazing how everything's evolved. Everybody's trying to chase, like I said, the carbonated seltzer business. And everybody's running around with when the ice beers came out. Oh, here it is. Here's the next thing of the ice beer. It lasted 18 months. It was gone. It's not going to be the case with this stuff.
As somebody who's been around, you know, as long as you have, is it always about the next big thing? Or is there at least a breather point where it's like, we need to go back and reinforce what made us us?
I still say go back and you got to do the things that you do best, and that's doing the stuff at retail. And I'll mind you, they'll come up with innovation has been the key for the past 3 years. Everybody's got something new, more this. And it's got to the point now, the push. We're forgetting about what's paying electricity bills. If it's going to go off, then we adjust to what's going off as the carbonated seltzer water business. It was like here, we're washing it. It's kind of doing its thing. Then all of a sudden, the propulsion just came last year, and it hadn't slowed down. It just went nuts. But it's going to be here for a while, and it's still going to continue to grow. It's still growing. We're up, I was looking at roughly 40% for the year on carbonated seltzer water. It's not 100%. Everybody go, oh. Carbonated seltzer water business is dying. It's settling into a mode now.
Right.
And the innovation piece, again, because of the flavor profile and everything they got going on, it'll be interesting to see what happens with it as we continue and how people keep throwing stuff into it. But we get the top three between Truly, White Claw, and now the hot one is Quirk.
Yeah.
Folks, there's roughly 85% of the business in Kansas City.
Man, oh, man.
So we control that pen. You got the number one craft beer with Boulevard Brewing Company. I saw Matt Moore from Martin City Brewing Company. That guy's hot as a pistol, too, in terms of his beers, what's happening with them.
Yeah.
A lot of good things going. Now we just get, as they say, get through the polar vortex, the cyber attack, throw in pandemic.
Challenge after challenge.
It's just like, get the supply chain back in place again for Molson Coors and some of these other folks, and we're going to be just fine.
Before we really get into this, I don't think I need to tell you at this point, this is going to be a lengthy podcast. Well, what can we say? John Cain's got a lot of friends, and every single one of these stories is definitely worth hearing. Take my word for it. But there was a discussion as to whether or not we should be breaking this up into multiple podcasts, and for someone with a personality as large as John Cain's, you got to go big. So this is it. Every story compiled for this podcast in one location. I did make it a little easy, though. Check the podcast description on your smartphone, computer, or listening device for a curated list of whom is where in this podcast. You're welcome. Now, that being said, let's get back to it. First up is Martin City Brewing Company's very own Mr. Matt Moore.
John, I'm really glad you actually brought up, not just that comforting point, but also, Matt Moore being here and talking about some of our suppliers, because the 37 years in the business, you've obviously made a lot of connections and a lot of friends in the business. Some of them actually do want to stop by and talk a little bit. So we invited a few people.
No.
And I need to bring in Mr. Matt Moore here.
Oh,
just one
God.
Second.
I just saw him yesterday. As a matter of fact, I sat down with him and have a little, hello, Mr. Moore.
We're live.
We're live.
We're live.
We're live.
Come on in, Matt.
Well, I'll jump right in. I had a, so I knew Mr. Kane before. I don't even think Mr. Kane knows that I knew him, and this is outside of the restaurant world, right? Which I'm sure you were like, well, of course you did. You grew up in the... No. This was my Friday morning Bible study at Starbucks right down the street.
Good morning, fine people of Starbucks. How's everybody doing on this Friday morning? Oh, it's going to be a beautiful weekend. Give me the Mr. Kane special. Actually, give me two. And...
we would be in the corner, and his voice would hit the door first, and then the man, the myth, the larger-than-life gentleman that,
April, how are you doing this morning? Great to see you. Oh, God, it's got to be a beautiful. What kind of plans you got this weekend, April?
And I swear to God, if my memory is correct, you would have two, and one would be gone by the time you hit the door leaving, and he'd throw it in the trash and walk out. And they were both, they were both Mr. Kane's size drinks. But
I laughed because that has not changed. That's the same way. You walk in, and it's like, John, how you doing? Ladies and John, how are you doing? We got going on this weekend. You got your beer bought for the weekend? Think of me highly when you go out and do that for me, will you? I don't know what it is. It's not just... If it's the beer person, it's just my personality. It's just like, hey guys, let's go out and have some fun. Every day's a fun day. And I got with Matt sitting in here. Matt, here's a guy that came from watching what he has done over the past 10 years, 15 years in this marketplace, doing his lawn service. All of a sudden, he gets into the restaurant side, and all of a sudden, he's opening a brewery. Next thing you know, he's opening up. He's got a clothing line thing going on. Next thing you know, he's got a coffee shop. Watching this gentleman grow up and what he has done in this marketplace has just been remarkable.
Well, it keeps me out of trouble.
But the biggest thing, it comes to two things. He'll say the same thing about, vice versa. It doesn't come easy. You have to work. You got to put your time in.
You got to work every day.
And there is no such thing as an hour work day. In my business, in my world, you have to work until you get the things done you want to get done. And like yesterday, if you're here at 6:15 yesterday morning, you go home last night at 8:30, that's what the day is. That's what you got to do. And that's what Matt done. And my gosh, look at it. He's got a family. He's got four kids going. I raised a family through the beer business. I don't know how I did that. I got a doctor and a lawyer and a Division I football coach. And I said, how did I do that? Running a beer company, finding the time to go coach, run a little league program, come back and assist with my wife with all the theater stuff that she was doing, and still get back and do things like run the beer company. I remember going to a ball practice that I'd be coaching football. Sweaty, come out 6 to 8. Somebody else take the kids home. I go meet a supplier out for a beer in my football garb, and we'd be out till like 10 o'clock at night talking about business, doing this, and this. And I mean, that's just what you need. That's what you did. And I just did it continuously. And I just, like I said, biggest thing. Wait, what's gonna be the biggest challenge you have when you finally say that's it? I said, finding the off switch. How do you shut yourself off?
Yeah.
I don't. It's going to be interesting to see what happens that first day, August 9th, when I get up in the morning with no place to go.
So it'll be we're always looking for free consulting, John. Is.
Everybody would say, you got some time? You got some time? Yeah. And I'll probably do that. I'm not going to sit around the house. My wife already told me there's two levels to our house. It's her level and my level. So all of a sudden be around her after 44 years of marriage with her, and all of a sudden being around her constantly, it's going to be... it's going to be a challenge. There is no doubt. It's just the way it's going to be. But I'm looking forward to it.
I'll tell you what, you both, Matt. I'm not gonna ask for forgiveness on this one. never has doing it the hard way made it look so easy for you two. Good job. Oh. Good job.
Well, I'll tell you what, like you said, look at the math. Look, I'm still amazed. Every time I drive by that building, I stop the car in front of the brewery and go, how is he pushing stuff through that thing? I just wait for the whole thing to collapse and drown like the movie Carrie, where they just get sucked down.
There's that expansion conversation popping up again,
Matt. There it is.
Yeah. As they say, write that check.
Well, if I could, I know we got a lot of people coming through.
John, Matt.
You have been, since it was always going to be Central. It ended up being Central once we got it going. And anyway, every step of the way, you've been an amazing partner at Central States as a whole. But you have driven, you have led, you've done what you've said. You're a man of your word the whole way, and it's been a pleasure and an honor. I know I'm one of the newer people to the situation here, but I can't thank you enough. And I wouldn't have missed paying tribute to you for the world. So
well, Matt, so nice you to come in. Like I said, the whole thing is all about a partnership, my friend. I can't do it without you. Vice versa. We make everything just makes the train keep going straight down the track. You got to have starts with the supplier, what goes inside the can that people come back to, and then once you got that going, we can do the pushing. But you did done a great job, Matt. That's you should start writing your own book with everything you got going on.
Well, on that note, we're going to let you go today. Make sure you're buying Abby for the weekend. It's going to be a beautiful weekend. Nice to see everybody. Nice to see you, Matt, see you, Aaron Robinson, doing great stuff in the marketing department. Thanks.
Matt, I really appreciate you testing my volume levels.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks, Matt Moore. I really appreciate it, buddy. Thank you very much.
Next up is Kansas City's market manager for Boston Beer Company, Mr. Sam Lester.
What is this? What's my line coming in here?
I didn't tell you this. There's a few people coming by.
Oh, okay. Oh yeah. Now I'm looking over here. It's like, who's next?
Just dropping
it. Oh, go ahead, pop one.
Right.
Sam, we might need to do a sound check on your mic after Mr. Matt Moore here.
Yeah. Check. Okay. Am I good?
Good.
I'm still here. I am still alive and well, doing well. And look what we got here. We got old Sam.
Mr. Sam Lester.
Mr. Lester from BBC. Third tour of duty here in Kansas City.
Always,
third time in.
Always a warm welcome back from you, too. So thanks for that.
I had the most fun with him last week. He was out doing what all suppliers do. We have to do surveys. We want to make sure the execution is taking place of our major suppliers throughout distributor networks throughout the country, doing the job they need to do to make sure we're successful in the marketplace. So he's out there doing his survey. I hate surveys. I got to tell you, I'm going to tell you a story about one of Sam's predecessors. This is some time ago, and it was a young kid. I wish I remember his name. It's like I said, a lot of young kids come in, and I think it's great because it energizes me to see guys like Sam Lester, who's just starting his family. All these guys that are coming into the place, new ideas, create, and just the energy they think they bring with them. But Mr. Brubaker came in here one day, and he sat down with his supervisor and started talking about some executional things that are taking place here. And he wrote something down where he says, I'm giving you a D.
Ooh.
So he tells me, I'm giving you a D. And then he goes on to say that he is not a Nebraska Husker fan as well. All right?
Come on.
So the relationship between supplier and distributor just went from here to like about down here. And I remember looking at, who was the divisional manager that came out of Colorado? Great guy, too. Oh, he looked at me. He knew I was ready to just come unglued. I looked at Brubaker. First of all, professor, you're not a teacher. I'm the teacher. If you want to give me a grade, that's up to you. But I'm going to give you a grade for yourself. And I just got all over his case and everything that day. And after that, everything was just peachy keen. And we said, well, everybody know who's on first and what's on second. I don't take grades. If you know something you don't like, tell me up front what you don't like. We'll work on that. But don't give me a grade.
Shoot it straight with John King.
Yeah.
That's the moral.
Let this
of
be
that
a lesson.
Story.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I was going to slap him around, and then I started telling him about the Husker stuff. I said, you know, you're going to be a short timer here. I can tell you that right now.
Aaron, do you remember those old starter jackets in the 90s, the pullover ones? With
oh,
the
of course.
I just want, for the record, John, to know, I'm a kid from Dayton, Ohio, and for some reason in the 90s, when those came out, my very first starter jacket was a Nebraska Cornhuskers jacket.
Oh.
Probably the only one in Dayton, Ohio.
No kidding.
But I owned a Nebraska Cornhuskers pullover starter jacket.
Was there any like rhyme or reason as to why?
I just wanted to be a Husker
fan. He's a Husker guy.
Yeah, for no rhyme or reason.
Everybody did. But I tell you, that Brian Brubaker thing, I just sit back and giggle thinking about that all these days. And like I said, I understand where some things got to be things that have to be fixed. We'll fix them. Just tell us. Just tell me what is it you didn't like. Don't give me a grade.
And I'll tell you, to rewind back to the beginning of John's story, 7 a.m., I walk into the Hy-Vee on Rice Road and Lee's Summit to unload some cases, build a display, count some beer, and there is John Kane just throwing cases, getting it on the floor.
Yeah.
The Wednesday before the biggest beer holiday of the year, it was incredible to see. So, John, I think that's all my time. Brian Brubaker, thanks for stealing my entire segment. But there's a lesson to learn there. And the last thing I'll say, John, is that I started in 2014 with Boston Beer in my supplier career. And the second I walked in the door at Central States, you treated me like family. And I've always felt like family here. And I'll continue to feel like family because of the tone that you set for me. And because in good fashion, we did just have 4th of July. And I hope everyone watched Sandlot over the weekend.
Of course.
Heroes are remembered, but legends never die. And John Kane, you are a legend,
no.
And you are just an absolute icon. So thank you for welcoming me to Central States and always making me feel like family. Cheers.
Tell you what, Sam.
You're good people, Sam. That's why we like dealing with guys from Boston Beer Company these days.
Sam brought the beer.
You're the man.
I brought the Kleenex, just for the record.
I mean, come on. It wouldn't be the Boston Beer portion of a John Kane farewell podcast without an appearance from Boston Beer's very own, Ellie Goldstein.
John Kane, Ellie Goldstein, Boston Beer, used to be Pabst. I can't tell you how many stories come to mind when I think about the last 14 years. 14 fucking years that I have been working with you. And I just wanted to take this moment to maybe talk about a couple stories that pop into my head that I feel like maybe I've told before, maybe not, whatever. But one of my favorite stories was about 6 or 7 years ago. So that would have been, what, about 2015, maybe 2014. Sat down for what we, at the time, we called annual planning meetings. And this is, of course, where we would get your buy-in on volume goals for the following year. And I'll never forget it. It was me and you, Rob Gleisman, Kurt Weber, sitting down at lunch before the meeting. And we just said, fuck it. Let's write numbers down on napkins and just slide it into the table. And if we both agree with the number, we'll just skip the meeting. And so we all agreed that if the number was even close, that we would just skip the three-hour meeting that I just spent 2 weeks working on. So we did it. The numbers were not even close. They were identical. And we just said, great. We ordered a couple rounds of beer at lunch, finished lunch, and we all just left. And I'll never forget it. Now, I'm not sure that would happen today, but this was 6 years ago. And we just all had a great laugh about it. What else? John Kane. I remember if you would catch wind of us playing golf at the course that you live on. I'm going to keep that anonymous. I don't want anybody going out there. You would always tell me, what time are you going out there? I'm going to have a cooler of beer in my backyard. When you guys play past that hole, just grab whatever you want out of the cooler. And I always thought, like, God, that's just the best. Like, nobody would do that. John Kane would do that, though. You know, John, I guess the one thing that I love about you the most is that, above all, you always made me look good. Right, Sammy? John Kane would always make me look good to my bosses. And this is dating back to Pabst and Boston Beer. And he would actually joke having drinks over in the hospitality room on a Friday at 3 o'clock or whenever we started drinking. And you would always say, like, Ellie, what do I need to make sure you look good? And I'll never forget that. I will never forget that, because you just don't hear it anymore. And God, it's so refreshing to hear that. So, there are so many more stories about you basically, you know, again, making me look good, but also stories about how you would test me, or you would just tell me to fuck off in front of my boss, my boss's boss, and my boss's boss's boss at a meeting because something I said was just, you know, you would challenge it, or you would say, like, this is just not going to work. It's not compatible. So you would challenge me, but at the same time, you always made sure that we did the right thing. And I guess the last thing I want to say, and I think am I going over time? I'm for sure going to get, this is going to get edited out anyway, John. But the last thing I will say, and Sam Lester, who's standing right next to me, he knows this because he gets to enjoy the kind of the byproduct from it. But I'll never forget your undying love for Twisted Tea back when it was just a fledgling tiny little brand. All we sold were six pack of glass and maybe one 24-ounce can, and you were behind Twisted Tea before it was cool to be fucking behind Twisted Tea. And you have grown this brand in Kansas City to be a giant. Sam, how many cases of Twisted Tea do you think we're going to sell this year?
Shoot, a lot.
A shit ton. He just said a shit ton. You couldn't hear it because he's not on mic, but it's a shit ton. And that's because of, like, your work with that brand 7-8 years ago. That's why it's a beast now in Kansas City. So, John, damn it, I'm gonna miss hearing about all the John Kane stories, but I'll never forget it. I hope you ride off into the sunset, whatever it is you're gonna do in the sunset. But I hope you enjoy your retirement. And man, I'm so honored to have been asked to be on this podcast. This is a podcast, right?
It's a podcast.
Yeah. So this is fucking awesome. So cheers.
Now we got market manager for Lagunitas Brewing Company, Mr. Steve Kohler.
Hi.
Yeah, hi.
Steve is actually, he was our second ever guest on the podcast, but we did it recorded through Discord. So this is the first time in studio.
Yeah, because at that point in time, I think everything was still shut down, right?
It was. It wasn't great.
Yeah. So.
Things are better now.
Yeah, right. Everything's a lot better. I'm not wearing a mask. I get to see people's faces. Right. I get to come in the building.
Right.
Life's good.
Steve Kohler, Lagunitas.
Steve, thank you for coming in today.
Of course,
for crying out loud.
Oh,
my
man.
Gosh.
Right when I got the email from Carrie, I was like, absolutely count me in for this.
I sat back thinking about Lagunitas and how we evolved becoming a representative, being the distributor of record for Lagunitas on both sides of the line with Ron and Greg. I can't tell you how much fun a supplier was that when Lagunitas in its early days, when we first got into the business being their distributor here in Kansas City for them, it was a wow. I haven't been wowed like that since the day I first walked in, my first day with Miller Brewing Company. I had to go down to Dallas, Texas for their national sales meeting. And I'd been, you know, Procter & Gamble, we'd gotten to meetings and stuff like that. To go to a beer meeting, just get blown away. I mean, I was just blown away. And I can't wait to start doing all this stuff. And I hadn't had anything feel like that again until Lagunitas.
Oh, that's pretty cool, yeah.
And the reason being is the Greg and Greg
Ron,
was the
Ron Lindenbush, all those
guys. All those guys have been, they're street guys. And I love a street guy. And when I say the guy in the streets, you can't make decisions sitting in an office and I'm going to do this because this, I feel like it in the office. You got to go out and see what's going on. You got to go talk to people. You got to go feel it. That's why you talk about going out, throw beer, build displays, look at this, talk to folks. What do you see? What's the competition doing? Then you come back and formulate your little plan and say, all right, we're going to jack with these guys doing this next. But Lagunitas, I tell you what, I still remember the first national sales meeting they had in Chicago. And I'm sitting there in the theater, instead of watching something like some wonderful musical performances going on or something like that, I got the Tonight Show music going up there. I got Greg coming out. I got Ron Snurbush coming out. And there's guys dressed up as in clowns and this carnival last stuff, and they're throwing beers to everybody coming down. You don't see that at a meeting. And they're throwing out Cracker Jack, and, hey, here's another beer. It's just like it went like that for a full day. We got some points of interest in what we needed to do, but it all came down to is the socialization, the entertainment, and we sat back and we said, what do we need to do to go forward? And we had those little meetings off to the side. But after you come through that and seeing how laid back, Lagunitas had a national sales meeting here in Kansas City.
Yeah, 2017, I was part of that.
They came in here, and the reason being is because of how we executed with Lagunitas. Greg loved us, Ron loved us, and we love Lagunitas.
And it was having all these guys run around for about 3 days. It was, tell you what, I walked in the next morning. Boy, there were some burnout people, but that's how Logan is runs, man.
I don't think I've ever seen a sweatier man than I did at our meeting here in Kansas City when Greg Meredith decided to play about 5 hours of pickleball when it was 100 degrees outside at Chicken and Pickle.
Oh, dear God.
That poor guy was just drenched.
Loganitas through the veins.
Yeah, dear, so bad.
And then to watch those guys, like you said, again, a small operation back out in California, then he opened up the brewery up in Chicago. I saw that brewery right when it opened up, had a chance to go back a couple times to see and it's just how it has evolved, how large it's become, and how Loganitas continues to grow to be the number one IPA in the country still.
Yeah.
And it's all because of the grassroots of what Ron, Greg, all those guys just sat there, worked their butts off, got things going. I tell you what, this group here is and of course the big thing about them is they got the big buyout. They're one of the few that somebody wrote them a $1 billion check. It is amazing what's happened with their brands is the fact that since the on-premises opened back up, now the resurgence. Glad to see that. The craft beer scene is much, much stronger today than it was 2 years ago due to the fact the on-premises is opening up, people are getting out and about, and now it's getting back into that craft, even though the company of seltzer water is as big as they are, but the craft scene is really picking up again, too, which is great to see.
Amen.
It really is. But these guys, man, I had many a headache at it from a Lagunitas party. Let me tell you that. It's just like the old, I said, all of a sudden I'm 22 years old again. I'm running out with Greg. We were at the craft beer conference in San Diego. And the first time I ran into really Greg and Ron both, of course, there was two rooms. There was Greg's room and Ron's room. And in Greg's room, they had the live music going on. They have 90 people sitting in a room that holds 20. They got a bathtub full of beer. The place is going berserk. Greg's running around with a half bottle of some booze, setting a boom out of the bucket. It was like, that was his calling card. Party all night long. I don't know how, I thought he would have a heart attack before he left the beer business, but he survived.
And so
is Ron.
There's a cure for headaches. I don't know if it's legal in the state yet.
Oh, Ron. I tell you what.
Trust me, they all know about it for sure.
That group, that whole organization was something else. It was something to be said. And we all made an agreement. We went to St. Louis, Bob Walkenhorst, myself, John Hummel, and Ron came in and gave us a spew, said, all right, we'll give you a shot. Look what's happening.
Here we are.
Here we are today. Here we are today.
Well, cool. I know we're running out of time. I just wanted to say, I know we haven't really had a lot of time together. We've had a couple beers here and there, and I've seen you in the market. But you were the only one. As you know, I came from the south side of Chicago. I was there for about 4 years with Lagunitas, and then they moved me down here. And, I instantly took over 18 wholesalers. Let's be real. I was running around like a chicken with his head cut off for a little bit. You were the only one out of all of the presidents, CEOs, anyone like that, that took time. You couldn't make like my welcoming party here. I remember you were watching your son's football game. I think you were in Texas or something like that. But you made time on your vacation to call me and welcome me to the city. Nobody else, not any wholesaler, even reached out once. You made it a point. We had about a 30-minute conversation. You were so happy that I was coming down. You had some support again after Clint left because there was that little gap.
Right.
But honestly, it just meant so much to me because I didn't know anybody. You know, meeting new wholesalers is very intimidating. John, obviously you have a huge name here in this whole industry. That little 30-minute phone call just meant so much, and I really, really appreciate it. And that just goes down to how you are as a person, how you run your company. It's those small, intimate details that really made you what you are. So congratulations on everything.
Well, Steve, thanks for coming in to see me today. My gosh, I tell you what, again, it's all about the relationship between supplier and distributorship. It's a partnership. I tell people that left and right.
Yeah, absolutely. John, good luck. We're going to have beers.
We'll have beers very soon.
Next up, key account manager for Diageo USA, Mr. Dave Jasky.
And I want to first say congratulations. And gosh, I can't believe that you're bailing. Some people would say quitter. Anyway, my first memory of meeting Mr. John Kane was in the late 80s as I was the area manager for Miller Brewing Company, and John was sales manager reporting to Mike Magulis at 1325 Topping, High Life Sales Company. And what a time we had, from cool cruises on a riverboat to multiple package introductions and brand introductions. And here we are 30 years later, and I'm wishing you farewell. All I can say, my friend, is congratulations. I couldn't be happier for you and Kathy and the times that you have coming. I hope you take as much time to savor what you've created, because it certainly is a lot. The memories that must be flooding back to you as you listen to some of this stuff, and the times that we've had and the times that we will have. Man, I just wish you all the best. And I'm glad I have this opportunity to be part of the podcast. I'm sorry I missed the live portion, but I'll be out there soon to hoist a couple with you and wish you farewell and on to the next adventure. But thanks for all you've done, John, and thanks for all you continue to do. You're one of the best, and you will be sorely missed, but you certainly have earned the right to step back and enjoy. So congratulations, my friend. I'll talk to you down the road, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
Oh, it's a twofer. Next up, we have the dynamic 1-2 punch from our friends out of Raytown and Crane Brewing Company, Chris Myers and Michael Crane.
Well, what do you say, guys? Welcome.
Wow, this is great.
We're really excited to be here, and certainly wish you the best.
I can't believe
we thought you'd be doing this forever. I don't know why you're even thinking of retiring.
Wait, you know, it's kind of
you know,
funny.
We have some openings at the brewery now, so maybe.
I've had more job offers this last, 45 minutes than I can. But I tell you what, Michael, I sit back and look at, I just look at this career and look at who has come to play. Like, visiting with you the first time, talking about a beet-infused beer.
Crazy.
It's like, and it's all of a sudden, it's like you become, you're known as Dr. Yeast. I do remember that.
So, yeah, in spite of the beet beer, you decided to distribute our brand anyway.
Well, I tell you what, it's like watching where you come from. Again, it's just like you said, you look at how many different craft beer manufacturers can survive in a market like Kansas City. You know, it's a 15 million case market. There's X amount of retailers here, and to find your niche. And you definitely have a niche with the type of beers that you manufacture, and you've got a following with what you do, Michael. And I'm telling you what, and it's not easy. Chris, you know it's not easy, but trying to figure out how to get a brewery up and running. What do we need to make? How much do we need to make? How do we get it out? What do we need to think about next? What's the next thing coming to play?
It's a process, yeah.
It is a process. And, it's been fun. I can still watch with you guys. I looked at your numbers last month. You had a great month with us last month.
Yeah, it's been quite a learning curve. And, you know, as soon as you think you get things figured out, then people decide they want to start drinking a different kind of beer. And I guess that can go through all the brands. But it's like hitting a moving target. But we appreciate your dedication to Crane Brewing, and especially in Central States, willingness to sort of work around a small brewery that makes unique beers and adjusting sort of the marketing plan around the little niche brewery that we are. And it's couldn't ever be done without the inspiration that you've led this team with.
I tell you what, Michael, like I said, again, it comes down to what you as a manufacturer, what you as a brewer can put inside those cans that people enjoy drinking day in and day out, and for the opportunity for them to come pick up the product at retail, and we get to put more back out there again.
Right.
I love the cycle.
Well, I especially appreciate your friendship and just being down to earth. It took a while, you know, getting to know you personally before really realizing the importance of your presence here at Central States. I'm just always thought of you as a good friend and always good for a good bear hug.
Yeah, Papa Kane. I can't be the only one who calls you that.
Well, I tell you what, like I said, guys, as I just told Steve, everybody, our relationships with our suppliers are so key to us. If we don't have the relationships with you, it's just, we're not going to go any place, either one of us.
Right.
And I think the big thing about it is to stay on top of everything as we move forward and to continue to evolve as you evolve and as you continue to grow. And as you begin to continue to build your business, which I know you're doing, things will just get better. They'll keep churning along and churning along. It's like I said, it's a long haul. It's not a race. It's like I call it the marathon. It's just a long race.
Right.
And
right.
The biggest thing about it is you just keep making the right stuff, putting the cans that taste great, and bring the people back in and start talking about you again.
It's gotten better every year. Yeah, we're super fortunate to be one of the local breweries, you know, to get to work with you.
I'm glad we have you guys on board. I kid you not, Michael, because you're a kingpin itself.
It's going to be really. I'm hoping that you'll still be around, and maybe you'll have more time to come out to Raytown once in a while.
You know, I've had more people ask me, "Are you moving to Florida?" I said, "No." Are you going to start picking up like woodworking? No.
Is that the two?
I know. It's like floor and woodworking. That's all I hear. No. What do you do with your time? I said, I'll figure it out when the time comes.
Well, we've been looking to increase our janitorial staff lately.
So I'm good with the broom. I can tell you that. You can see me in the warehouse from time to time doing that for like, I need to do something different today. And
well,
that happens.
I'm thinking that we can hopefully still count on you for a phone call for some friendly advice.
I'd be glad to come in and visit with you, Mike. I tell you what, guys, I kid you not. I'm just going to come down and just hang out. As long as you got a button with my name on it that says free beer, you'll see me. I'll come down as often as I can.
That'll work. We can definitely do that because I don't even know how to use the POS system. So, you know, the key will be to come in when the tap room's not open. And then you can only get free beer because that's all I know how to do.
That's it. That's all I look at. But, guys, thank you for coming in and seeing me today. My gosh, this whole thing is a surprise this morning. I thought it'd be like a little 45-minute in and out. Let's go. I just can't believe it's been 40 years doing this. I just can't get over that. So that's still not in – I'm still not processing that well. I've been doing it as long as I have.
They've been making beer that long?
Oh, my gosh, yes. Thank God everybody's been drinking a lot of it. It's the difference between now and then is like back in those days, there's like 10 brands you had to worry about. Now you got 1,500 brands you got to worry about.
Right, and you guys represent half of them, right?
I feel like we are.
Sometimes.
Every time I turn around, it's like set up new. And right. I go, here we go. And the next thing, next best thing coming.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing how the craft beer scene has grown and changed over the years.
Oh, good gosh. And I'm glad we were on top of that at the beginning of this thing, too. Because
right.
I saw it coming, and we did everything we could to make sure we got tied in with the right people. I said no to a lot of other folks, and so other folks said no to us at the same time. But I'm glad they said no because they're not doing that well anyway, so what the heck. But you guys got a good thing going, Michael. You do. Always have.
Really appreciate that. We're really fortunate to have had the ability to work with you guys over the years and work with you directly. And we've learned a lot from you, John, and we appreciate it and look forward to continued relationship and even better and stronger relationship with Central States.
Excellent. Well, I tell you what, I will not be a stranger down in Raytown.
Sounds good.
I know how to get down there.
Sounds good. Maybe we can get that road fixed pretty soon.
Oh, God. What road was not being fixed in Kansas City right now?
Right.
Next up, CFO of the company, Mrs. Chris Patton.
So I am here to officially tell you your retirement has not been approved.
You know, people have asked me, this before all this came to play, I said, when are you going to retire, John? I said, whenever Mrs. Patton says it's time for me to go. And I say that wholeheartedly due to the fact that I'll be honest with you, there was a special relationship between Mrs. Patton and myself. And as we grew up, our families have grown up together. I took notice of Chris Patton the first time she came and did an audit. She was with Baird, Kirks, and Dobson doing the our annual audit. And back in those days, they would show up with a two-wheeler, some computers, calculators, books, all that kind of good stuff. And in today's world, the auditors that come in, we still do it, get our audit every year. They come in and they're in and out within a week. They'd be there 2-3 weeks sometimes doing the audits to make sure because everything had to be hand processed. The computer thing wasn't going that well at those days. And so we had her the first year. And you get to know people by when it's time to close the books. And she's in the hospitality room. Of course, the beer taps are there. I said, would you like a beer? Well, certainly I would.
I thought you'd never ask.
So Chris would sit down at the bar, and we'd drink about 2 or 3 Miller Lite, you know, 3 or 4, and it was always on Friday afternoon. And she would go out with her husband and Steven. They go to Westport with their friends and go out and do a little partying over the weekend. And she'd be back on Monday the following week doing the audit. And we would do that again on Friday. Then it became Wednesday and then Thursday and then Friday. And she came back. How many years did you do this? Was it 2 years?
So I worked on the High Life audit for 3 years.
It was 3 years.
Before he hired me. Yep.
So she came back every year. And I always looked forward to seeing her when she came back. And then an opportunity came up, and the owner sat down and said, what are you going to do? I said, hire this girl. And here's the reason why. Because of the time I had a chance to sit down with her, drink beers with her, get to know her a lot better than normally anybody else you would think about trying to go out and hire a new CFO. She knew the account. She knew how we ran her business. Hired her immediately. At that time, she had no kids. One house, no kids. A dog. And then watch what we did after she came into this place. Chris went on and got her master's degree in finance, which was awesome, at University of Kansas. Had three kids. I don't know how she had three kids. I don't know. I guess I'll say this again. There was something special between Mrs. Patton and I with regards to the work relationship we've had over 20-something years. And because there's not too many things that I could bounce things off people. What do you think of this? What do you think of that? But I'd always go to her. And I said, what if we do this? What do you think about this? What if I do this? Sometimes she'd tell me I had my head at my rear end. Sometimes she'd yell at me. But for the most part, there was this relationship that we have that I get her and she gets me. And I just look at what we've done, even in the past 14 years, when we first took over everything here and what we've evolved this place into. Over, it was late nights. It was weekend stuff. It was trying to get a company running, getting everything all rolling, and have to call her up every so often, almost like every day, and say what's going on. But now, like, so look at us now. You know, this company right now, because with Chris in here, I'll be honest with the technology piece on looking at everything. We went out with Mr. Hager, myself and Chris went out, and we toured a number of distributorships before we came up with the composite of what we wanted this place to look like and how it was going to evolve and how much money it was going to take and taking care of the I can't say enough about Mrs. Patton. This is the one that's going to break my heart when I leave. I kid you not. And I told her, we'll have to have lunch every week. We got to do this. We got to do that. But watching her kids grow up, watch Chris and I grow up together. We did grow up together, putting this place together, because there was heartache, there was headaches, there was a lot of stuff going on, and we persevered through all that stuff. And it's just a damn tenacity of what Chris does. And I guess John, being fortunate that he is, knowing people to hire and how to get people in here and to do the job that needs to be done. And I've been fortunate. She's been a stalwart for me. I kid you not. It's just, she knows when I am having a bad day, and there's very few. And it's the vice versa. I mean, when she's having a bad day, we lift each other's spirits. There's no doubt about that. And I know
we're not supposed to be talking about me. We're supposed to be talking about you.
Oh, Patton. That's
what I meant. We're here to talk about you, John. So with that.
All right, say all the nice things you want to say about me now, Patton.
And you know how much I'm a crier. I cry at everything.
So I do have the Kleenex right in front here,
perfect,
just in case.
Perfect. I just want to say thank you. I have really enjoyed every second. So thank you so very much for taking a chance on me and making work fun. Like, I literally love coming here every day, and that's because of you. Somebody that I just has it figured out is Warren Buffett. So every time there's something on Warren Buffett, I always read the article or read the book or whatever. And so there was a speech he gave to a bunch of young kids, and he was talking about, what do you need to do to be successful in life? Like, what should you do? Here are the things. And he had, you know, 6 or 7, 8 things, and, you know, marry the right person, get up on time, take the most of your day, make the most of your day. But one of them was, only work for somebody you admire. And I kind of, when I was going through that, like, I took stock of everything he was saying, and I'm like, you know what? Check, check. And on that one, triple check. Like, you should only work for people that you respect and admire. And when you do that, life is easy and you're successful. So I want to say thank you, and 3 more weeks of crying, and then it'll and then I'll see you for lunch every day, and we'll stay in touch. I know. Because I know, not only losing my boss, but I'm losing one of my best friends. So
one story with Chris and I, and we both had this, I'm sure, this well, she told me, I had the same goal. When I first walked into High Life Sales Company in 1984, eight years, and I'll move on. Chris did the same thing. She figured, all right, here's my chance to become a CFO, learn how to manage an office, do all this stuff. My case, 37 years later. In Chris's case, 24 years later.
Yeah.
There's something to be said about being in the beer business and having a working relationship that you and I have had over all these years. Still finding the time to do all the stuff that we did, but still have to find the time to raise our families the way we did and be involved with our families the way we did. And I don't think we could have done it any place else other than through High Life Sales Company. Yeah. And what we've been able to do. It's been a great run, Patton.
And there's been a lot of laughs and a lot of fun and a lot of great memories.
And the thing about it with Chris is that when something's not right, Chris can wear that on her sleeve, and I know it's not right, and we're so good at each other. Brings, all right, what's on your mind? Tell me what's happening.
Yeah, I don't do a real good job of hiding what I'm thinking.
No. And she does the same thing with me. She knows. And I guess that we're like two peas in a pod, and we're just so grateful to each other in terms of the working relationship and the things we're able to do to keep this place or make this place the way it is today, KP.
Yep.
There's no doubt about it. No doubt about it.
Well, long after you're gone, you will still be here because everybody here in this organization, built, so you will be here forever.
I just want to tell you, I just hire many me's. That's all I want. I want many me's.
Next up, owner and founder of Mother's Brewing Company, Mr. Jeff Schrag.
It is so good to see your responding face. These surprises this morning are popping in here. I'm going, I was telling Aaron, 45 minutes, get in, get out. I got things to get to worry about.
You got stuff to do.
Going on. And all of a sudden, it's like, I'm liking this.
Sir, I was promised 5 hours.
And when I sit here talking about, like, it's a two-hour, we're going to talk about our 2022 business plan program.
That's easy.
I have 55 slides for you to look at today. And now we sit back and talk, because the big thing about it in the beer business is all about talking with friends and such and say, hey, what can we do to sell some more beer? Just give me 3 slides. What do you expect from me? How are you going to help me? And this is what I'm going to do for you. That's all you need to worry about.
Well, John Cain, 35 or so years, biggest change in beer in Kansas City. 2 or 3. Maybe one's too much to limit it to.
Well, just if you go back and look at everything, I anticipated the crap beer thing to take off like it did, and it did. And watched how so many folks got into the business, and you need to look at the ones that you felt had staying power and which ones do not have staying power. And a lot of folks have knocked on our doors, but, you know, I remember you were so unique with the word Mother's Brewing Company. You got a chance to go down and see your operation and taste your beer.
In the very beginning, you were there.
And it was, again, to me, when he's looking at some of this craft beer stuff, it's like everything tastes alike or something doesn't taste good. You had great beers coming out of the vat. I still like the your Nut Brown Ale. I think that's the best beer you guys make over there. Next thing you know, we have Mother's Brewing Company come in. And then you're really the first one, too, I'll be honest with you, that we physically sat back and devised a marketing plan for Mother's to force beer on the floor, to get reactions to consumers coming through social media, which was really different back in those days.
It was pretty new back then, yeah.
And sending pictures in about being around displays and the success that we had with that promotion. What it did for Mother's Brewing Company to announce it to Kansas City, a small brewer coming up out of Springfield, Missouri, and all of a sudden we had beer all over the place, and we had sampling going on, we had taps going on, we had everything just flourishing so well. And that was with the homegrown marketing plan. That wasn't anything that like the conglomerates of Coors Brewing Company or Miller Brewing Company or even ABI would come up. That was our plan. This is what we're going to try to do. Let's see if we can make it happen. And it was a big hit. I remember that. I don't know why we don't do it again.
It was
a big hit.
We should do it again, and we'll invite you.
I think we need to do that.
Uh-huh.
And that's something you guys can talk about the next guy for the 2022 business plan.
There you go. I've got some slides.
But but I'll tell you what, Jeff, my hat's off to you. And I know it's tough being in this business the past 16 months, but especially on the craft beer side, when you lose that on-premise presence and you just lost it.
Yeah.
And then everybody's trying to play catch up with get cans in here. I can't get cans. I can't get packaging. And you lose some space out there on that. You get some stuff getting back in here again. It's just getting everybody back on track again and getting things looking forward and making sure we don't miss the opportunities that are laying out there for us right now.
So, John, we were supposed to come here with a story. So I got a favorite story of mine.
Fire away.
I was in town working the market. It happened to be Boulevardia, one of the early Boulevardias. And you called me to come meet you, or we talked about it in advance, and so your family was there, your wife was there, first time I met your wife. And I remember that you had your pockets full of all these tokens for free beer. And you would pull your hands out, John has good-sized hands, and they'd be full of tokens, and as we walked down the little avenue there, you'd be handing them, hey, have a free beer on me. Here you go, have a free beer on me. And you'd be standing in line buying beer for everybody around you. And at the end of the night, you ran out of tokens, and I got to buy the last beer because you were feeling, how could I buy all these tokens?
I'm tokenless.
You were tokenless.
But I bet you bought 100 people beers, maybe 200 people
beers. Well, it's one thing to go to Boulevard, you know 200 people down there. And every time you see somebody, it's, hey, let me buy you a beer. Let me buy you a beer.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's about being in a beer business. You can do stuff. Let me buy you a beer. And it's two things in life. And Schrag's heard me say this. There's two types of beers in life. There's our beer and there's free beer. And so you give somebody a chance to get a free beer, hey, I'll never turn down a free beer.
You know, that sentiment's actually rubbed off, too, because you go down to Springfield for Mother's Fest, Jeff is walking around with a pocket full of tokens
right,
saying, hey, you want a beer.
Acting like John Cain.
Oh, my gosh. Right. I tell you what, but Schrag, I always enjoy coming down to your place in Springfield. That old bread, it was an old bakery,
yeah.
And he converted it into the brewery. Once a yeast building, always a yeast building.
That is well said. And isn't it interesting, John, what a good currency beer is?
Oh,
buying
God, yes.
Somebody a beer is one of the better gifts you can give them.
And people remember that. They remember somebody bought you a beer versus, I don't know where I got that hose. Somebody bought that somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, but they always remember who bought you a beer. And I still, like the other day, I was out stocking coolers, and I was helping out. It was a Hy-Vee East. We're putting a bunch of beer in there. And some lady came in and asked, can I have a case of, like, Miller Lite? So I grabbed it off the shelf for her and handed it to her and all that kind of good stuff. And I grabbed another one. What are you doing? I only need one. I said, I'm buying this one for you because you're special. I introduced myself. Not some kind of guy that's making a hit on her or something like that. But hey, I'm so-and-so with Miller Beer. I'm going to buy you a case of beer. And they're just flabbergasted. And I said, anybody else ever buy you a case of beer like that? No. I was like going into a bar. I see four guys drinking Miller Lite and there'd be two guys drinking Bud or something like that. I come up with four Miller Lites, put them in front of them. Hey, did the Bud guy ever buy you a beer? No. That's too bad.
That's too bad.
Too bad.
Too bad.
But, Schrag, I tell you what, the longevity being in the craft beer business and everything we've gone through, you persevered, and you're still making great beers. And I know it's a challenge every day. What's the next thing, as they say?
Oh, that is the challenge.
What is the next thing? Is it cloudy, uncloudy? Is it fruit, no fruit? Do we put in this a little more hoppy? Do we do this? It's like, what do we do?
You're so right. So, yeah, we launched Package right after the All-Star game because I remember sitting making that marketing plan, and you guys said, you know, we probably can't do it before the All-Star game. We'll be so busy with the All-Star game in Kansas City. So right after the All-Star game, which was July, I think.
Mid-July is the best time to do it, too.
Yeah, mid-July, 9 years ago. Time flies.
Dang.
John Cain.
It's been 9 years.
I appreciate your inspiration. Yep.
Ah, oh, Mr. Schrag.
You've given me some of the best advice I've gotten in beer, so thank you.
Hey, Mr. Schrag, I tell you, I wish the best of everything for you in the days to come. I enjoy your beers. Keep making good stuff. Put it in the can and bottles, too, will you?
All right.
And I'll come see you. I'll have a couple of beers down in Springfield.
I can't wait.
I promise you that.
Thanks, John Cain.
Oh, it's another twofer. Next up, sales account manager, Mr. Steve Linder, and vice president of sales, Mr. Bobby Dykstra of Duval, USA.
I just saw these guys last night. The Boulevard Brewing Company was nice enough last night. They sponsored a little going away party for Mr. James Booker, who is with the Kansas City Royals. He was the marketing VP over there, and he's taking a position as the associate athletic director in charge of finance for the University of Kansas. Starts that new job on Monday, I believe.
Yep.
So it's kind of unique when we look at Bobby and Steve and everything talking about the Royals, that everybody we knew at the Royals organization, the marketing department, that we've had these close relationships with have one by one kind of disappeared. So there's a whole new group of people that we're going to have to develop relationships with. A lot of work. And then that's another story I can sit back and talk about how all this stuff came together years ago. So I had this idea, what if we can do this? And lo and behold, the idea came to play. So anyway, it's your show. Go ahead.
No, this is very much not about me. But thank you guys for keeping the secret.
Yeah, no,
I couldn't believe it. Stop sitting around. Why is anybody here picking up Pony Sale today?
John kept telling me last night, he was like, I'll see you on Friday. And I was like, well, yeah, Friday. Friday it is.
It's good. It's close. I know you were just mentioning, you know, moving forward, but this is about looking back and the memories and relationships forged. And actually, I don't know if you came up with a way to intro this, but Steve was talking about one this morning. I figured I'll just throw that out there for you.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Mr. Cain's known Bobby, almost Bobby's whole life. So I was like, I'm not going to have to say much here. John's just going to talk about Bobby's growing up. And I thought maybe I could get some fun stories here. But, you know, Mr. Cain, when I was thinking about today and kind of coming into this, I was thinking about the first time that I ever saw you in the market. When High Life bought Big Sky, I was obviously a Big Sky guy, and you came, you guys bought Big Sky, and that transition, if you remember that transition in the market, it was a challenge to say the least, trying to mix those two houses and get the sales right and get the beer on the trucks, and it was a mess. Short-lived mess, but it was a mess there for a while. And I was helping a driver deliver beer in the Northland, and it was like 7:30 or 8 o'clock at night, and you pulled up and grabbed the wheeler off the side of the truck and started wheeling beer. And I went to the driver, and I'm like, isn't that the guy that runs the company? Like, what's he doing like with beer in his hand? He's like, oh, he'll be out here until we're done. And you stayed there with us and helped deliver that beer till like 9 o'clock at night. And I've had ultimate respect for you ever since then. I just thought that was the greatest thing that you were out there doing that. I just couldn't believe you were doing it.
Well, like I said, when you sit back and think of those days and that transition and back in 2007 when we made the move, it was the longest negotiated deal that I know to man. It took a year and a half to negotiate the buyout of Big Sky at that time, and it fell through due to the fact Constellation pulled out of the package at that particular time. And then we got it back on again, and everything moved forward, and look at where we're at today when I sit back and look at that. But, yeah, that first week, I remember day two, we loaded the same beer on the same trucks from the previous day. I said, this is not going right. And then, of course, I had to make the executive decision there. I remember we reloaded all the Kansas trucks, sent them out, told the Missouri guys we're working on Saturday to get caught up, just keep everything going. And then you found out what kind of muster everybody had moving forward from, because, yes, everybody was used to doing certain things a certain way, and we had to change everybody's way of thinking. And we knew it was going to be chaos. It looks great on paper. Everything put on paper looks great on paper until you actually implement it. And when you start implementing, you don't understand. Like, we added two keg routes immediately within 60 days. We added another package route, and it got everything kind of calmed down. We got to start making the coverage we needed to cover and take care of the customers. And within 6 months, we had that place pretty well clicking along. But, you know, my whole thing about it is that when I sit back and look at my career and everything, like I said, I'm an old Procter & Gamble guy. You got your bag, you got your car, you went to the account, you called on the accounts, you worked the longs you did the whole day until you got everything done the way you wanted to be done or what's expected you to be done. And when that transition took place, probably the one thing I didn't anticipate is that the emotional fallout that would take place with one organization coming in and taking over another, and everybody getting used to selling different things that they haven't sold before. And it was more like I felt like it was like the Newt Rockne speech at halftime. Because it was like I said, all right, guys, it's going to be tough. We know it's going to be tough. It'll be all right. Just keep going. Just keep plowing into it. You'll get your routine back. And I remember getting home one night. It was 2 a.m. During the first transition. And I sat on the edge of the bed. My wife, Kath, woke up. She saw me sitting there, and she put her hand on my shoulder and said, are you not having fun anymore? And I said, not yet, but I will. Just give me time. And we persevered, because that was when I was living in Parkville. It was a 45-minute drive back and forth. And like I said, I'm looking at the night crew, checking on those guys, how everything's getting organized, getting the beer on the truck for the next day. I mean, there was a lot of hands-on stuff that you had to do, and that's the only way you can do it. You can't do it sitting in behind a desk. You got to be out there and see what's going on and help them get the beer delivered. I get that, because we had to get the beer out. I remember Rob Gleesman went nuts one day. I got the old Mike's Lemonade truck, the one that had the funky little hand, whatever it was. Right. Had to go to Tonganoxie to deliver some beer because the order got missed. So Rob comes right, what are you doing? I'm going to go deliver beer. He goes, well, I'll go with you. Well, get in the truck. We're going to Tonganoxie. So I drove over there with some liquor store. It had a bench press back in the cooler. I said, He had a gym in the cooler. So what the hell is all this? So we unloaded all the beer, got everything stocked up and everything like that. But those are the things, the commitments you have to make. If you're going to be a leader, be a leader. And it doesn't mean you have to go drive a truck, but help out as much as you can. Hey, guys, I understand this is hell. We're going to do a great job. Don't worry about it. We'll be just fine. Sitting down, I was talking a story earlier about sitting down with John McDonald and Bob Sullivan when we were getting ready to do the buyout. Bob had concerns and John had concern about what's going to happen to Boulevard. I said, I'll double your business. I looked the restaurant in the face. I will double your business. I will double your business. If you don't think I can do that, you just watch. Let's get this thing going. And, of course, we were selling 425,000 cases when we came here in 2007. 6 years later, we're doing a million.
Wow.
So the rest, as they say, is history. I told us that. Just stay with me. We'll get this thing figured out. We'll get it all done. And that was probably one of the biggest highlights I've had as Central States is not only getting everything running the way it was going, but then have an acronym selling a million cases of a craft beer in a local market, which is unheard of,
right,
across the country. And the other second amazement is when Bobby took us over to Belgium. I'm sitting down with Michel Morguet, yeah, who is the owner of Duvel, and he's going, John, how much beer do you sell for us? And I said, well, we sell a million cases. And so he did the processing of, well, how many hectoliters is that, as they are in Europe? And his line was, you're our biggest distributor worldwide. I said, yes, we are. We like being that way.
So Michel picked up lunch.
He bought lunch then. As he's sitting there in the sun, he's sweating. I remember sitting at that beer garden. We're in the shade. And he starts seeing sweat coming down his face. He wasn't used to that. Those Belgians aren't used to the sunshine. But, you know, looking at Steve, Steve was an employee with Central States. And then he had the opportunity to go get on with Boulevard Brewing Company, which is, you know, now he's called telling us, talking about monthly business objectives and working with the guys and keeping this train going that we have going on. But, you know, we look at Bobby, and I guess I could talk about Bobby all day, but I've known Bobby since he was about the yay high. And Mr. Dykstra and my son Patrick were best friends growing up in grade school. They went to different high schools, but they still hung out together all the time. They were the proverbial lifeguards at the Parkville swim pool. They also they got themselves into some jams now and then that they thank God Bobby's father was a lawyer from those days back then. But it was interesting is that watching Bobby grow up, and you can see some leadership skills there. Pat was smart. Bobby was a smart guy. Some leadership skills there. A guy named James Manning, another kid. He's a lawyer here in Kansas City. Very, very good lawyer here in town. All those kids. Bobby came work for me. Pat working repack. So you have all these 17, 18-year-old kids working repack. They've cut the grass outside. Then we start putting on helpers on trucks. And, of course, you put about couple of kids that are 18, 19-year-olds on trucks. All of a sudden, you start seeing the back rooms of some of these joints. They say, wow, this is pretty wild back here. Like some of these little bars, these little risque bars and stuff like that. It's, oh, man, what learning experience. I remember it was when I was. But gosh. But and then Bobby was going up to school at Mizzou. And he came back, and I was toying them because I kept pushing off-premise, 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 off-premise will dictate sales. And then I started seeing with this craft beer thing, we started to come into play. Now I got to start looking, we meant to make it specialized in something. So I hired Bobby for the summer. He was going to school at the MU, gave him a corporate credit card, and he was calling on my top 25, 30 on-premise accounts during the summer. I wanted to test if I had a sales division just for the on-premise, what can I evolve from it? So Bobby went down to Westport, started doing the promotions. All of a sudden, we started getting more tap knobs. All of a sudden, watching the volume do one of these dang things because our competitors weren't doing that. So I just had one guy specializing in doing this, and Bobby was the guy. He was the kingpin. I remember Chris Patton. You're going to give him a credit card?
That's still questionable, right? Lucky to have one now.
I said, sure. Let's see. I just want to see what it does. And from that point, what Bobby did is the start of the Kia Can Manager program that we have at Central States. No other beer distributor has anything set up that way, the way we're the only ones to do it. And we call in the top 450 bars in Kansas City. We have 70% of the taps in Missouri, 38% of the taps in Kansas. And the only reason we do that, because you got one guy specializing, focusing on everything. But like I said, Bobby's protege and his brother, Matt. Can you imagine I have Bobby calling on me from Boulevard Brewing Company, and then Matt was calling on me from Molson Coors telling me what to do? I'm telling these guys, wait a minute, I'm going to put you in those spots to begin with.
Yeah, don't act like you listened.
But it's just amazing. I call it my protégés. I was going to save the speech for next Tuesday. My two protégés, looking at Bobby and Matt and what they've evolved into. Yeah, Bobby now is the Executive Vice President of Sales and Marketing for Boulevard Brewing Company. Matt is the Vice President General Manager for LDF, calling on, he's got the two operations, one in Tulsa, the other one in Wichita, Kansas. And watching these guys just thrive in the beer business is that, I mean, you look at it, their parents, we were just such close friends, and we grew up together as a families and went to church together as a family. We went to Old Pike as a family.
Right.
Kids got in fights, as families do, and then they just, everybody got through all that kind of good stuff. It was just fun to watch what you have done. And now Bobby has his family, Steve's got his family, Matt's got his. It's amazing how this whole thing just evolves. The evolution continues.
Absolutely. I will literally, and probably one of a handful of people that will hop on this podcast that would tell you, I would not be here if it weren't for John. I would not be in this industry. He was instrumental in everything that had to do with my career. And I think if John was in construction or if John were had some other industry, I probably would have followed him to that because he's such a leader. He's got such a big heart and such a great family man. When I think about myself and our family and how to raise kids and how to, you know, the relationship with your wife and your community and your church and, you know, the Irish fest and just everything that you do, you put your whole heart into it. And you're a man of such high moral character and ethics. And it's just something that we all strive to be. And I know that your children feel absolutely the same way. And everyone that works here just looks up to you so much. I can tell you that, you know, my wife is tired of hearing about it, how much I model myself as much as I can, as closely as I can to you. So, John, I've known a long time. John was my basketball coach starting, I think, in third or fourth grade. He ran a nice little high post motion offense. And always, it was very, we were a pretty darn good basketball team. And he was, you know, the way John manages himself and his family and his team, I think coach is a great word for John because John is there to pick you up when things are not looking great, maybe grab you by the face mask and tell you that you need to do something a little bit better, but also to keep the wind in your sails when things are going well. And he has just such an ability to coach people and to train people and invest emotionally and resources in people. And that's why you've made so many people such an impact on folks, because you take the time to invest in your own time in folks and emotionally and otherwise. And I worked for John at Central States or at High Life Sales at the time and then ultimately Central States. You know, I learned how to hustle in beer and what it means to be a beer person. And I fell in love with it because of that. And then John, when I went on to Miller Brewing Company and then ultimately Miller Coors and kind of had the chance to move around the country, John literally took the initiative of connecting me with Bob Sullivan. And they called me one day when I was living in Northern California and running a chain team for Miller Coors. And he said, this is your guy for national accounts. And so John quite literally not only got me started in this industry, but then brought me home, brought us home to Kansas City, which meant a ton to me and to my family and to my wife. And yeah, I mean, I don't know that there's a person outside of your own children and Kathy that you've had more impact on than me. For that, I'm just forever in debt. You know, my family, we lost our father this year, and I was reflecting on that this morning driving down here, and there was, you know, obviously my dad's a great dad and I love him very much, and you were always a second father figure for me, and it meant a tremendous amount. And you were there for us throughout his illness and that. So I know this isn't goodbye, so I have that lucky perspective here that, you know, we're more than coworkers. We are friends, and, you know, we just love you. We love you and your family. You mean a tremendous amount to us, John, and I just couldn't ask for a better mentor in my career. So thank you.
Well, Bobby, I'm looking forward to seeing you and Steve as time goes on. You keep doing these wonderful things that Boulevard has been propelling themselves into, looking at different things and getting the different categories, looking at like what's going on with Quirk now in Kansas City and realizing what's happening there, and then getting back into the what's happening with weed again, seeing the resurgence of that happening again. Just keep the basics. Like I said, innovation is great, but keep the basics going. Slow it down a little bit next year.
Right. Please. Tell the industry to slow down.
I'm with you. It's kind of slow everything down a little bit so we kind of catch up with everything else. We got to figure out what we got to do. But like I said, if anything, the beer business will change. It'll continue to flourish. People will continue to enjoy our beverages. And I tell you what, I can't think of a better career to have had if I've had for the past 40 years being in the beer business. Bobby.
Thank you.
Guys, great job.
And I think the number is something like 14 million cases sold by this guy in his tenure with Boulevard. Something like that.
Oh, it's got to be up there someplace.
We're calculating it. We've got like a running tally, so.
Holy crap.
We're going to have to name like a wing after Mr. Kane.
There we are.
We're not quite sure.
All you Bobby, all you need is the free beer button on the thing there at the hall. That's all you need to do.
Done deal.
The official John Kane button on the free beer hall.
Done deal. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for coming in, guys.
Next up, from Molson Coors, Senior Distributor Sales Executive, Mr. Brett Lentz.
Oh, Mr. Lentz.
Good to see you.
This is a...
I cannot tell you, Brett. I've been saying this everybody walks in. This is a total surprise. This whole thing, the way what Aaron has...
Let's be clear. It was not just me. I had a lot of help from Carrie.
But just the idea of reaching out and bringing folks in and talking about...
Well, the good news, Mr. Kane, is that I don't have any PowerPoint slides for you.
we just talked about that with one guy. So I just need 3 slides. What do you expect? How am I going to get there? And give me the timetable. That's all I need to know. That's all you need to know. Everything else is just, yeah. Mr. Brett Lentz, Molson Coors, started out, was on the marketing side, doing some stuff with him. Then he became the area manager for us for here in Kansas City. He's been here for some time. And I'm going to write something at Brett here real quick. And probably the big thing is that Molson Coors, of course, is our largest supplier here in-house. Depend on Molson Coors to thrive, to keep this place running the way it needs to with our Miller Lite, Coors Lite, Keystone, Blue Moon, Line and Google, and such. But there is an annual review that comes out from Tamron. Tamron is an organization. They go out and they solicit information. They do surveys. And they send one out every year to survey all the distributors regarding all their suppliers. And I tell you what, the suppliers take this thing really serious. They get a lot of feedback in the questioning in which they ask in terms of like, all right, so I have to answer questions for Molson Coors. I answer questions for Mike's Lemonade. I answer questions for Diageo, not Boulevard.
Maybe Boston Beer?
Boston Beer Company. That's the other one, thanks. So you have to sit back and you rank them. You have to go back and say, what are the strong points of this? What are the strong points of this organization? What do they do well here? What do they do well here? And you've been hearing this primarily all morning too, Aaron, is that everything evolves with the relationships you have with your supplier. The better the relationships you have or the stronger the relationships, the better you will be in terms of the performance for your in the marketplace representing their brands and such. Because I like FaceTime. I need to know what's going on, but I need to know what we need to look ahead, what's working, what's not working. And we've been fortunate, and I ranked them very, very high with Brett, is that we've had Brett, we've had Sheila Rhodes here for a long period of time. And when you start thinking of that, you have a continuity of understanding between what can we do, what cannot we do. He knows what we can execute wise in terms of programming and getting the monthly business objectives out. Sheila, the same thing. We sit down with Carrie. And what's so great about Sheila, she got to work for us for a while. When she left, when the brewery shut down the office there, Sheila Rhodes came to work for us, worked for Jeff in the chain department, went back to the brewery. Now she's in charge of the marketing. She understands the pieces of how everything works back and forth, as does Brett. And they always ranked, in the last couple, three Tamron surveys, I've ranked Molson Coors the top infield group, just due to the fact there is that understanding. They've been here for a period of time, and they want the same thing I want to do. How do we sell more beer, and how do we go about doing it? Even though he's got a rash of my... Some of my language from time to time about on some stuff. It's like, you got your gosh dang mind. What are you thinking about doing this stuff? And then poor guy, he's stuck in the middle of everything between pandemic, polar vortex, a cyber attack. Let's throw COVID on top of that. It just has not been fun.
No, but you guys have always been very, very fair, I think, to us. And and when the rash comes, it's generally deserved. So I've never walked away from it feeling like, man, I didn't deserve that.
You know, the thing about it is that I want them to be the best. I want our suppliers to be the best. If the suppliers are the best, it makes our job easier as a distributor too as well. So it's like you said, they hold our feet to the fire in terms of the execution at retail day in and day out. And I expect the same thing from our suppliers. And like you said, Brett has just been, you've been tremendous over the past couple, 2-3 years. No doubt about it. You and Sheila both, we're on the same par. We know what we want to do. We want to win. We want to execute. We want to do the right things. But it's been tough, I got to tell you. And we've been throwing so many things out there. I mean, throwing stuff up against the wall, seeing what sticks, and we're just getting tired of throwing stuff at the wall. We look for something that's sticking. And like I said, now we're getting through some all this stuff. We got through the two major holidays, and we're out of Coors Light 24 packs, but we're okay on that stuff for what we got. We have supply that's getting in here, and we have good plans. I think we have great plans. Marketing wise, I look what's going on at the P&L district right now with Hot Country Nights, seeing that resurrected the way it's going. Getting our partnership, what we've got going on with our friends with the Royals between Molson Coors and with Boulevard working together on that package. You get T-Mobile going back up again. That'll add some more pizzazz to us. A lot of good things ahead. I just see nothing but positive things coming ahead for not only for Molson Coors, but for Central States Beverage Company, because I just see at the horizon this thing's going to jump, and it's going to jump quick, and we got to make sure we're ready for it. No, I think we will be.
Yeah, I think so too. And when you talk about our plans, I can tell you that I love every day of my job, but one part I like the most is annual planning, when we all sit down together and we start putting stuff on paper and up on the wall and align on what we're going to do. And I'm always so energized walking out of those meetings with you guys specifically because of the plans that we agree to and what we're going to go do. And it just is always, you lead into the next year with such excitement, you know, and I know that stems from the way you coordinate that and the way, you know, you have the teamwork with us. So I love planning with you guys. Yeah.
Well, as big as we are, and with 196 employees, we have 39 suppliers that we represent from one side of the line to the next. And again, as I said earlier, you got 7 suppliers that do 92% of our business. You got to have a lineup of how things have to work. And there's no doubt about it. The planning piece is so key year in and year out. And we take it a lot more seriously year in and year out these days, too, looking at where do these fictitious numbers come up from.
Yeah, I feel like we've done a nice job of getting on the same number here recently, I think.
We do. The thing about it is I'm the optimist. And, of course, even when I sit down with the board of directors and I present the budgets every year, and I hear the same question. Are you sure we can hit this number? And, of course, I'm the optimist. And about halfway through the year, I have to sit back and think, well, we have to make an adjustment here based upon, because you can't control the controllables that we've seen the last 2.5 years. There's no way. But we're seeing some great things that come to play down the line for us. And I tell you what, having Brett, that's been around us for a long, long time, makes a huge difference. Sheila, a huge difference. The continuity, the partnership, the trust we have in each other as far as getting things going to get done. It just works like a champ. And that's probably one of the things I hate about the industry itself is you see people come, and, of course, everybody wants to move on to the next level and do the next level and do this. But you got a great place here in Kansas City, great place to raise a family, great continuity. So just little things like that that will help us in the marketplace continue to grow our brands, especially Molson Coors, because, you need for them to survive if we're going to keep this place going. Now, do I see myself seeing with a new major supplier being bigger than Molson Coors? I don't see that. I see somebody getting everybody growing bigger, taking a piece of it, but I don't see how they can overcome everything. We just need to make sure we get the folks sitting at the top making the right decisions for all of us. We can do it here. I know we can do it here, Brett. Always have. Always knew.
Yeah, well, you guys always come in at the top, and I mean, quite honestly, are obviously very well known within our system as a great executing distributor. And, you know, when you talk about the continuity, if I can brag on you guys for a minute and yourself, you know, I've been in Kansas City my entire career in beer, and I am so fortunate that that's been the case. You know, I came on board as the agency guy with GMR Marketing and started working with you guys, and I was shortly out of business school thinking I knew everything about sports marketing, and then I sat down and said, oh, this is how it's supposed to work, and saw how you guys did it and the partnerships that you had and the relationships you built with them. And then after you did all that, how you actually activated it. And that blew my mind, and how you guys utilized the assets and went to market and went to retail and big events. And I had never seen anything like it. And I thought, well, this is everything I learned, but in practice, you know. So I was so impressed. And so I had that marketing piece of it working with you guys and learned so much. And then they let me move over to the sales side. And, you know, you guys didn't treat me like the marketing guy that's now trying to do sales. And we're very, very patient with me. I think back to the, you know, that first year of monthly business meetings I had you guys sit through. And
marketing guys like slides.
What?
Marketing guys like slides.
I just remember the the book report I would come in with and tell you guys a bunch of stuff you already knew. I think more than anything, trying to convince you that I knew what I was talking about. I got one of my favorite memories is just, and I think everyone in the room always enjoyed it, it's how many times is Mr. Kane going to next slide Brett? I'd get going, then you'd hear, next.
And next slide. I got it. Move
okay,
on.
Okay, we'll skip ahead. And you go, how many slides do you have in this deck? Oh, just about 50. You know, so I learned pretty, well, probably not quick enough, but I did learn to get that minimized down. And I also learned when Mr. Kane says yes, just stop talking. Just stop talking.
So, words to live by.
I told him, I said, you sold me already. Move. Don't change my mind. Yeah. Don't keep talking about it. Just keep moving.
You're good. You're good. Yeah, so much of my career over the last, you know, my whole career in beer has been impacted by you and by the organization that you lead in Central States. And I think that it propelled me forward at a pace I wouldn't have in any other market, getting to work with you guys. And, you know, I learned marketing from you, then I learned sales from you. So it's just been a big honor for me to have been here working with you guys and been able to learn from you as much as I have. You know, I just will take a lot of that with me moving forward, and the relationships that you build, you see that on the partnership side. And I always wonder, I go, how does John know these people everywhere we go? You know, everyone knows you. And
it's like you said, you don't sit behind that desk. You just try to get out as much as you can. And I tell you what, back in the old days, you're out every day. And it goes back, I tell you who taught me that. And I learned that when I was a snot-nosed, and I got Jeff Michaels sitting in the corner. He started with doing the same thing. I was a helper on a beer truck at that time for the Schlitz distributorship here in Kansas City, downtown wholesalers. And there were three guys that influenced me back in those days, just knowing how they went to work. One was Woody Smallwood, the other one was John Tanner, and the other one was Jesse Ingrams. And those three, I was primarily their helpers on the beer truck. But Woody, I went to school with his high school with his son, Tony. John Tanner, of course, was renowned for being one of the best drivers in Kansas City at that time. And Jesse Ingrams was just a phenomenal driver. And then their bosses, this guy named Kenny Young and Joe Basso. And those two, I remember, show up every day, coat and tie. They made 12 calls every day. They went out in the trade every day. They didn't sit behind a desk. CFO sat behind a desk, make sure the money was there. The office staff was behind a desk. They came in, made a couple points every morning with the drivers. They were gone. They were visiting people. They were talking to chain folks. Made an impression with me. And I said, it was kind of funny watching Mr. Basso and Kenny. And then all of a sudden in the beer business at his distributorship, and I'm competing against these guys that I work for. But they taught me. They laid out that, I call it my DNA. Well, this is what you're going to have to do if you're going to be successful in this market. You got to be like these two guys. And I took that between my training at from P&G. I took that from when I had Miller Brewing Company. Put it all together. Put the emphasis being on the streets. Putting the feet to the fire of my supervisory staff, of the expectations, what's going to be done in terms of the call frequencies, what you need to do with the customers when you walk in the account. It's not, hey, how's it going? Everything's going great. They're going to do this, and this. Everything just went from that point on. I'm even getting on Woody Smallwood that one time. There was a newspaper called The Call, inner city paper. And back in those days, there was a grocery store in every corner, and they all had ads in there. And every time I opened up the ad, Schaefer, Old Milwaukee. Kenny Young, Joe Basso. That was their book. But they knew all those guys. They called on those guys, and they got the ads every gosh dang week. So I sat down with Woody and said, we're going to come up with a plan. This is going to stop. Next thing you know, there's High Life in the ads. There's Miller Lite in the ads. There's the Milwaukee's Best came in. We got in, and we just took that over. And it's because you see the opportunities, and unfortunately, the Joe Basso and Kenny Young philosophy backfired on them because I took it and took it to another level. Because they showed me how this thing works. And, you know, it's a family-owned operation, and they ended up selling to, at that time, was Metro Distributing because the volume was falling off. Milwaukee's Best was just tearing it up. And they were living off of Milwaukee and Schaefer at that time. But I tell you, those two guys, I just think about them day in and day out. Hey, bro, you go walk into the inner city. They're sitting up there with – they knew everybody, front and back, forward and backward. That's where I wanted to be. And I just made a point when you were a small operation at that time with that High Life sales company was selling 2.8 million cases of beer and such. We had maybe 85, 90 employees at that time. It's still, you had to be out in the trade, go seeing everybody. And just kept doing it. I can't believe it. You got kids growing up. Their parents are still there. I'm going to see Nick Ficino down at Brooklyn Market. And his sons are now running the business. But shoot, Nick, get your ass out of here. I don't want to see you. You know, all that. But the respect for each other, everything. I just go in, persevere, and all that kind of good stuff, and they ask us the way it is. My whole thing about being a beer guy, you got to be visible. It's, again, it's all about relationships. And I hope, if anything, I know Jeff knows that, all the guys that have worked for me over the years understand it's a relationship business, and you have to be in front of these folks all the time. And a lot of folks like to know that you're listening to them, too, as well. Even the ones, as I always say to some guys, you just want to call them a son of a gun. But I always tell my guys, get in the car, turn the car on, and then say whatever you want to say about them then. Not when they're sitting there with it. We've had a couple of those instances like that, but then move on.
Well, I can tell you kind of the way you talk about the folks that you learned from, and I know you're hearing a lot of it today about how many people you've impacted in that exact same way. And add me to that list, because I know that list is very long. And like I say, it's I've been impacted in a profound way from yourself and Central States and the way I look at the business and the way I want to proceed throughout my career in the business. And I can't thank you enough. It's been an amazing 10 years, and I know you got folks that, you know, started their careers and have worked their whole way through, and I think people are very lucky to have worked under you, worked for you, and then in my scenario, I mean, the impact you've had on the people external from the building that you've just, suppliers that you've mentored and worked with along the way. So I can't thank you enough, John.
Well, Brett, great job. Like I guess that's one of the things, I'll see you a lot. And like I said, I'm not disappearing completely, but again, what you've evolved to for this company, there's no doubt about it, and working with Jeff and with Rob and everyone, it makes a big difference in how things get done. And like I said, again, it's that relationships you have with them.
I know this certainly isn't goodbye. We got you for another few weeks and beyond.
Well, we got 3 weeks, but I'm not going anyplace. Like I said, as I told earlier, I'm not moving to Florida and I'm not taking up woodworking.
Next up, Central States Distilled Spirits brand manager, Mr. Stacy Ross.
Hey, John, Stacy here. Just want to say it's been a pleasure to work with you for the last 13 years, and then even a little bit before that as we were competitors. I wish you a happy retirement, and I'm sure you'll keep busy, and don't be shy, and give me a call up sometime if you want to go grab a tequila. See you, John.
Next up, Central States Director of Chain Sales, Mr. Jeff Michael.
How are you, Bodine?
Yeah, old Aaron's, he's ramrod in this damn thing. He's doing a hell of a job. Mr. Michael, Chain Man 101. Jeff's one of the unique employees of High Life Sales Company Central States, because he started as a snot-nosed kid going to college as a helper in a beer truck. Jeff would show up, have his own little cooler full of food. I don't see any other helper doing that. He brought his own lunch every day, because I guess the drivers didn't buy you lunch.
No, they did.
Well, they did buy you lunch, but he had his own cooler, everything like that. But Jeff is one of the most resilient, and I say the word resilient because he has had a number of different hats on his head growing up with High Life Sales Company. Like I said, the biggest thing, he started as a driver in a truck, then he got into the merchandising side, and then we started to do some goofy things. And when I say goofy, I saw a need, and I kept telling myself no. Back in the old days when we started back in 1984, again, it was really simple. We had 16 packages of beer on the truck. And then all of a sudden, the add-ons began coming. That's when we had the California cooler evolved. The company got involved into an import wine business that they were heavily involved with, specialty products division and such. And then it kind of, Jeff ended up from being in merchandising. Then he kind of slid over into here into the special products division, trying to sell some of the off-the-wall stuff that we were toying with. I had no control over it as sales manager back in those days. That was a different thing between Mike Magoulis and Eddie Hall. And Jeff got into doing some pre-selling on this stuff to see what we can do. And they're trying to figure out, is it the right thing to do? Is it the wine thing early, too early, whatever? Didn't really pan out because they were going about it all wrong, I thought. But that wasn't my gig to say anything at that time. So that kind of got dissolved. But at the same time, next thing you know, we have All Brand Import comes in. We pick up Guinness. We bought the rights from Metro Distributing at that time. So we had Guinness, we had Harp, we had Red Stripe.
Moosehead.
We had Moosehead in there and all that. So back in those days, like I said, the drivers would load their truck. They'd have here's what I want in my truck for the next day. And then these add-ons started coming. And as you see the truck being hand-loaded every day for the same stuff, the effort and the time and everything that went into it, and they come back and the beer still be sitting on a truck and the rotation on the truck wasn't taking place, then we needed to start taking a look. Maybe it's time we start thinking of pre-sell. Pre-sell back in the early 90s was a bad word. in Kansas City because nobody, there wasn't a beer distributorship that can do it and do it right. Metro tried. They failed miserably two or three different times. You had some of the liquor guys were doing it and people hated it. That's all I kept hearing. You go to pre-sell them and throw your ass out of here. Well, we had to do something. We couldn't keep going the way we were doing. So Jeff evolved into the pre-sell business. He was my pre-sell tester. So we got in there and started working some stuff out. And what did we do?
Osco and Berbilia. We started pre-selling.
Was it Osco and Berbilia? I know Berbilia was in there. Or was it Food Barn?
Food Barn.
So we did Food Barn and Berbilia, are two of our largest chains. Let's see what we could do. What kind of continuity? And at that time, Food Barn was doing a big Milwaukee's Best program with us, $2.99 12-pack. And that was the demise of the big of downtown wholesalers then at that time because we just took all that business, all that Schaefer business and everything. So Jeff tested that, and we learned a lot from pre-sell. I mean, one thing is Jack Bonded would pay the 1st and the 15th to give us one day, and I had to try to jam all this beer in these places on the pre-sell routes in one day. We physically couldn't do it because of the next pay period and all that kind of good stuff. So we learned a lesson on that. But as time went along...
Then we did the Oscos, which was a big deal.
Yeah, the Oscos did much better than Oscos because they paid all the time. I mean, there was no thing we're worried about getting the check. It was fluent, big displays, big merchandising. It worked out really well. And we had all the beer in the truck that needed to go and ship back in those days. We're dropping off 1,000-case displays, too. What Jeff did with regard to the pre-sell made me go back in then after... and sell a complete new lineup of how we're going to go about doing business with regards to the union, compensation, a whole ball of wax evolved from what we were testing on this due to the fact we were selling so much Milwaukee's Best at that time. We had to go. We just got finished negotiating the contract, and I went back like 9 months later under management rights. We're going to reopen this thing and do this again, and we went pre-sell. Bad taste in everybody's mouth. My drivers are just going, getting your pre-sell staff in line to pre-sell. And it was pretty much lined up. We had a pre-seller to go with the truck at that time. It might have been overlapping a little bit here, not much. And then having the owners go along with investing the additional funds to adding more people to make this thing happen. Because it's going to be an overkill to start with until we get a good feel how we're going to go about doing this. So after I thought I was going to have a strike because I'm changing everything all up. It's change. Everybody hates change. So we got into that pre-sell mode and... my God, we hadn't looked back since then because we got that thing rolling. It worked. The trucks are being loaded better at night. Uh-oh. All that kind of good stuff. And then Jeff, we got through the pre-sell. And the next thing you know, you were unit sales manager then?
Yep. And then off-premise, pre-sale supervisor, you name it, 12 different jobs.
And then I made a change at my sales manager spot, and I put Jeff in the sales manager spot just before we got up here at that and bought out Big Sky, and we did that for a while. And we're doing pretty good. We're knocking things on a wall there for a while. And we had new ownership with South African Brewing Company at that time. We had new ways of setting things up regarding getting displays on the floor for every major holiday, put it up on a board. We had a check chest. I mean, we had everything lined up going pretty good. Jeff was starting to make some chain calls at that time. I was trying to do the general manager spot and do chain calls at the same time. And trying to get out of retail as much as I possibly could because I just didn't want to let go of that chain piece. Because I was so good at it. But then again, I had to become a better general manager at the same time. So I just kind of pushed everything down this way. That's one thing I learned in dealing with Jeff and looking at the small version of High Life Sales Company is that there's a lot of things you can do. I can do a lot of different things. But if you want to do one thing well, focus on the one you need to focus on. And that was be the general manager, be the leader. What do we need to do? How to make the place better? How can make it operate better? Who do I need? What positions we need to sit back and fill, what do we got to do on this side. He allowed me more time to get involved with more of that and to find out what we need to do, and he learned a lot, too, as we went along in terms of managing people. And MBOs were just starting to become a thing. And then we came down here, and then all the mess that was going on between Molson Coors and this and that and everything else and divisional office coming in here, so we had to make a decision on some stuff. And I needed a chain department. I knew we needed a chain department because we're on both sides of the line. Jeff got that spot. He's in charge of the chain since then. He's got Rick Cooch. But in Kansas City, again, my whole thing regarding this operation is we touch everything, not my suppliers. We're the ones that do the touching. The chain department has to touch. They have a chain guy that comes in here, throws his song and dance down, they need to do this. I've seen chain guys get thrown out of offices because they don't know the guy like we know. It makes a huge difference. So that's why there's a chain department. Touching. relationships. Call me. Don't call my supplier. That's what I part I like. And Justin in charge of the chain department, that thing just flourished. I mean, it's kicking ass because nobody else has one. There's another distributorship. I'm surprised that, again, they don't have some type of organization where they have people doing specifically just this stuff that we do because it's hands-on anymore. And Justin taking that thing to another level, as Carrie did in the on-premise side. I'll speak highly of her and what Cooch has done with the independent convenience stores. We own them. Those could get Budweiser out of these cooler sets. I'd be even better.
Well, thanks, John.
But like I said, Jeff, single, dating some girl named Kathy. They would always – it was so funny watching them. They all get pissed off at each other because they were drinking too much because we're all partying back in those days. And next thing you know, he marries a girl, has two kids. That's the fun part. Watching Jeff from when he first stepped in as going to college, dating Kathy, who he met at Kelly's Bar, getting married to Kathy, and having two kids and six dogs. And I tell you what, Jeff, it's been fun watching you grow up. He's one of the ones that been here since like day one. Yeah, Cooch is the other one. Rick Cooch is the other guy day one. Helper in a beer truck, evolved his way up and everything like that. It's amazing what when you look at this this operation and the Moss family, which you can raise a family, you can have kids, you can do all the things you want to do and enjoy the time you have with that family too. And still be in the beer business, enjoying what you do day in and day out. It's remarkable. But it's been fun watching him grow up. It really has.
Well, I want to say that, you know, work is work. But the beer business is supposed to be fun. And it is fun compared to other jobs or whatever. And one thing John has always done is made the job we had a lot of fun. We've been from Dublin, Ireland to Las Vegas. We've been from New Orleans to New York on trips for sales meetings and spent a lot of time together. And John has always made the job a lot of fun. So I really appreciate that. And I'm going to miss you when you're gone, John, when you are not here to work. A couple other things. We've seen some real big successes across my time. Smirnoff Ice for one. Red Dog for another.
Oh, good gosh.
The resurgence of Miller Lite when we first sold a million cases after being down in the dumps for years after the Dick commercials. And
leadership. Comes the leadership.
We've also seen some horrible failures. Captain Morgan Gold, Miller Red.
Well, you know, it's amazing. You look at everything that's going with this carbonated seltzer thing. You look at the successes we've seen on that. But again, if Jeff brings up, we had a brand Red Dog that was just tearing it up. I mean, tearing it up. It had who was the voice of the dog?
Tommy Lee Jones.
Tommy Lee Jones. Attitude. The beer in the bottle was awesome. Packaging was awesome. Great concepts. And they brought in a new guy that become the new president of Miller Brewing Company, Mr. Jack McDonough. Came from Anheuser-Busch. I call him the Trojan horse. They planted him in there to destroy everything because he did it so quickly and so succinctly. As he came in, all of a sudden, he pulled the money from Red Dog. We're going to come up with a new beer, Miller Red. We introduced Miller Red. We put our heart and soul into that freaking brand. And then watch it just fall apart because nobody understood what it was. The marketing piece of Miller Brewing Company was just horrid during that time period. And what happened when they took all the money from Red Dog, and Red Dog lost his steam, and it just went away. We could write a book about all this stuff.
We should have written a book.
The original idea here was for people to come in and tell stories about you. And you got life stories for everybody coming in here right now.
Well, I said, Aaron, probably the most unique thing is that we've all, like, again, we have all grown up together. And we've all experienced the joys of what we do, the successes we've had. And we've also gone through the pitfalls that we've been through too as well. And we have to, you know, we need each other to pick each other up. All right, let's move forward. I mean, there were some cloudy days. I mean, there was a couple of things that I sit back and think about. When the brewery came down and just hammered on us there for that one couple of weeks with no fault of our own, but they felt they just had to go and make a point of some stuff in the past. And it's like, no, I remember some of those days, those really tough, tough days. And again, it comes back to leadership. All right, it's tough. We know about it. We got to move forward. And you just got to bust a way through that stuff, and away you go.
Well, I have to thank John for one thing he did. I've worked for John most of my 33 years here. I worked for Denny Laws for a bit. I worked for John Chan Christensen for a little bit. But there was a turning point probably 30 years ago where I think John saved my job, and maybe he's done it more than once, where I was adamant to keep my jury duty paycheck for $20 because of the way the rules and regs, management policies were written. And I believe Mike Magulis wanted to fire me because I wouldn't give him my check. And John went to bat for me, and the rest is history.
That's it. He's still here. Magulis is gone. He's still here.
Survival. That's it.
Oh, gosh. But, Jeff, I tell you, you've been a great asset to the High Life Sales Company since the day you walked in.
Well, thank you, John. It's been great working for you. It's been great having fun with you. And it's been a great job for over 30 years. So thank you very much.
I can't tell you, Jeff, thanks for sneaking in and talking about it today. I tell you what, you bring all those things about Captain Morgan Gold. Oh, my God.
Next up, Central State's Director of Marketing, Mrs. Carrie Contreras.
I was telling Aaron, I said, why is everybody picking up point of sale today? We're looking over there, all these guys are walking in. Yeah.
We tried to make it nice and shaded so you could see what was happening. But.
And there's Carrie Contreras. Carrie. When I first met Carrie, I sat down and visited with her. We were going through the interview process here in Kansas for becoming Central States. And a lot of folks kept telling me, you got to watch this girl. I said, this is the one you got to do, blah, blah, this, and this. So I sat back and I had Steve and I sat down and talked with you at length and how you just blew everybody away as far as having our conversation with you as what your expectations were. What do you think about this? How do you think about going around on this? You and Corey are pretty much the only on-premise team they had, mm-hmm. had Big Sky, and we knew that. I knew your reputation preceded you. And I sit back and I giggle. And I sit back thinking about this over these years. So we go through the process of interviewing everybody. And there's some hits and there's some misses and there's some misses and there's some hits. Of course, she's the big hit. But we didn't hire her husband, who was working here at the same time.
Well, and the thing that's funny about that is Nick thought his interview went great. I thought mine went horrible. So I was like, well, this is like going to end well for me. But I won. I'm still here.
I sit back and think about it every time I see Nick. Yeah, we didn't hire you, Nick.
Well, we're probably married because of that. So you know, thank you.
And at that time, of course, Nick and Carrie were you engaged then?
We were not. I don't believe we were.
No, you were not. You were not engaged.
Back from Ireland. We were on a boulevard trip.
So they were dating, and then of course they got engaged. Now they got two kids. Now she's building a house. They're building a house together, and that is the true test of a relationship.
I haven't killed him yet, but we'll see.
After going through that twice. Second time was a lot easier than the first. That first time, man, oh, my. But Mr. Contreras is now the director of marketing here at Central States Beverage Company. And I remember first coming in, we got you in there with Corey as the assistant on-premise. And all of a sudden, you saw me pressing more responsibility toward you as we developed our sponsorships with different entities here in Kansas City, primarily the Power Light District, and looking at the things, executing all these programs we had lined up and watching how you took that and ran with it. And then turn around, all of a sudden I put you into the chain department, is the on-premise. Mm-hmm. You were built for that one. And then watch what happened there in the on-premise side. And then the opening came up over here. And as, like you said, it's just look what you've done over here.
Well, there's a good team over here. It was definitely a
team. You have a studio now. We didn't have a studio back then. Yeah. Now you have a studio. You have a new website. We have so many good things happening. I tell you what, Carrie, it's like it's the 14 years. You think about everybody that's been here. I've been around them at least 14 years. Mm-hmm. And I don't have a lot of folks. I can say that the ones that disappeared, yeah, that's the way it goes. But the folks we have here right now are just so solid.
It certainly doesn't feel like 14 years. It's been really good.
I can't believe how fast it's gone. It's been 14. Yeah. And we've been through two warehouse expansions. We've been through a new mechanic shop, new draft workshop, new pumps. We have a marketing building. Definitely. And we started out with like, how am I going to do all this? And next thing you know, it's this piece and then this piece and then this piece. And look at what we got.
Now we have a podcast. Thanks to Aaron.
And that was, look at us. And we have a studio.
I know. And a studio and a neon. Yeah.
But I tell you what, it's like I said, looking what you've done, of course, I'm going to talk about Aaron too. and what you have evolved into in helping with this company.
We're going to run out of time. We can't do that.
No, here's this. But I'm telling you what, guys, it's such a team-oriented business for us. There is no I in the beer business. It's all about all of us, because one cannot do without the other. And people have to understand that there is no egos in the beer business. It is about, how do I sell one more case of beer? How do I get under the toenails and thumbnails of my competitors and make them just like screech?
That's the fun part.
And that's the best part I like. And I got to do that last week when I was at stocking for 4th of July, Price Chopper on Berry Road, in Belton. Every time I walked to that beer cave, AB always had the first three spots forever. Well, right before the 4th of July, they didn't have them anymore. My salesmanship came out, started talking to these guys. Yeah, go ahead and change it all. And then the shrieks that came from that. Cogwell called me up. They're screaming. They're hollering. They can't believe it happened. That's what makes you want to come to work every day, to make somebody else scream and holler. And then, like I said, that's what's so important about what we do with these podcasts with you, Aaron. This is so unique. I've been wanting to do this for a long time, getting our website up to snuff. After one of the first ones in Kansas City even put one together, it's just, how do we evolve it from the next stop, what you've done with it since then. And looking at this whole marketing piece, it's just now, it's so much fun, Carrie.
It is fun, and we're coming over here, working with the sales department, and everybody's really
And the thing about it you have going with you is, yes, we have suppliers to have the funding and everything. We got this and this, but the creativity that comes from you and from you and from myself, whatever ideas we come up with, we make them pay for it, but there are ideas. And then they take these ideas other places. And I think that's what's so great about us, is that we are so creative in what we can do. We are not dictated to anybody as far as how to go about doing everything. We follow certain patterns. Yes, we do that. But at the same time, we add our own little pizzazz to it to go along with
it. And the execution, which is 90% of it.
And that is it. And like I said, it's like I said, the sales side depends on the marketing needs the sales. Sales needs marketing. Operations need the ordering coming in from Tanya, accounting for them. It all comes, it's all one piece. And the train's got to go on the same track, and we all got to go in the same direction. And if we're not doing that, there's a kink in the armor, then things start kind of falling here, falling there. You can't let that happen. And so, again, like I said, there's no I in the beer business. It's we will make this thing happen. I tell you what, we've turned this place into a fun-loving two extremely competitive companies, because we were beating each other up, trying to beat up ABI. And ABI got it because this for fallout, because of their marketing. It was it. It wasn't because of salesmanship.
Yeah.
It wasn't because of execution. We're the ones out there beating each other up, trying to get displays on the floor. AB was automatic. And then we put the two groups together, and all of a sudden, we're one nasty little sales force. Because as competitive as we were, the AB guys weren't, they're still not really used to that. And they still get a few things given to them for free, but it's not easy like it used to be for them back in the old days.
That's our job. Make it hard.
Make it hard for them. Make it hard for them. But I tell you what, Carrie, I sit back and look at Carrie. I know that Mr. Moss is in good hands, knowing he's got you over here. You got Aaron sitting over here. Look at the staff that you got. Back in the old days, we had a 99-cent magic marker. We made signs.
We might bring that up from time to time.
I always bring that up.
Bring that back.
That's right.
99 cents. Now we have, what, six? I have six printers. I got three graphic artists. I'm going all this to sell a case of beer that we sold with a magic marker back in the old days.
It does look better.
It does. It does look pretty.
Yeah. Well, you taught us well. We're going to keep the ship going, and we just appreciate everything you've done for us and believing in us to put us in these spots that we're in.
Well, Carrie, like I said, Mr. Moss is fortunate to have the people in the position that's on the staff side that I know this place is going to just come. In the days to come. And you have new work coming ahead of you, too.
Oh.
With all these new things taking place with the Royals and all that.
There's a lot of new players. A lot of new players, but that's okay. We're up for the challenge. You taught us well.
And you're going to tell us how to just go hold their hands.
That's right.
Get your hands ready to go and go visit these folks and find out what they're all about. Get that credit card out and go spend a little money on them.
Absolutely.
And I tell you what, they won't want to leave us.
We're going to make it happen. Excellent. We'll make you proud.
Well, Carrie,
thank you.
This is so much fun, Carrie.
Oh, God. Next up, from Central States Chain Manager, Sarah Wirth.
Mr. Kane, congratulations on your retirement. Just a few things that I wanted to tell you. It's no secret that you have a great big personality, and I sometimes think that that quality in a leader can be taken for granted, but I sure don't take it for granted having worked for you. You know everyone, and one thing that I will never forget about you is the way and the style in which you greet people in and around the office. Those big, loud, bellowing greetings when you see people. I think you're the only one that works for Central States that can holler down from the top levels of the foyer down to the lower levels and not seem like a crazy person. Your confidence and your charisma as a leader are unique and they will be missed, and so will those big, wonderful hellos. Congrats. And I hope that you have a wonderful, wonderful retirement.
Next up, Central States Chain Manager, Mr. Rick Cooch.
All right, Aaron, I'm going to tell you this right off the bat. You will never meet anybody as competitive as me when it comes to getting stuff done. You will this guy right here. Because there's only one. Cooch and I are probably built from the same cloth due to the fact we competed at in sports. We competed at a different level. We went in college and such, even though he went to play that went Baker. I was at Nebraska, but still there's a mindset. And the mindset is, I don't lose to anybody. And and I think the same thing with Lacouche. You look at, you bring that attitude into the beer business and everything like that. The competitive spirit, the energy you try to bring to your job every day. And the same thing, I don't like to lose. I like to win. I like to do things to win. I wish I had more time to win a few more things I would like to do. But the time element is short on that, and somebody else got to pick up the torch and kind of go with it. But, no, Rick, when Rick loses, when he gets pushed around, he doesn't like it. I don't like getting pushed around either. And I think that's what makes us unique here at this place, is that we don't get pushed around.
Yep.
And we do a hell of a job doing it, I think. My God. I'll tell you one quick story before Cooch goes. I don't talk a little about this, but Metro Distributing, I was at a Safeway store in Valentine Shopping Center. And I had Paul Gustafson with me at that time. Paul just came into Kansas City as a chain guy. And I walked in there, and stocked the cooler, took a look at it, and said, what the hell? Someone took my space. I set the coolers. I know everything that goes in that place. So I take my space back. It was somebody from Metro added another face in Coors Light. Coors Light didn't sell squat back in the late 80s, early 90s. They didn't do, I mean, nothing. So I went back, and matter of fact, the King was the manager of the store at that time.
Yeah.
And so I talked to him real quick, and I went back to the cooler. He's kind of talking about it, and there's this guy from Metro taking my space. His name was Mike Meacham. I remember that. Mike sees me. I went up to him and I said, you touch my stuff ever again, you will never walk. I threatened him. I said, I will beat you to a pulp if you touch my product ever again. Who allowed you to do that? I had the King. I had the manager sitting right over there. Did he ask you? No. Did you ask him? No. Don't ever touch my product. Walked up. Yeah. That's competitive. I said, can't do that today.
No.
Because you hurt their feelings today. But back in those days, I kid you not, that's my turf. Don't step on my turf. And that's just the competitive nature that I have. I didn't work my ass off to get that space and earn that space for somebody to come and just haphazardly take it. I think it's one of the biggest things we have with our sales force is they're the same way. Don't get pushed around. So
absolutely, yeah.
And then, so that's what Cooch does. I mean, Cooch sits up there and he's just, don't get pushed around. And when he gets pissed. Yeah. And we just calm down. I learned to do that too. Calm down. You shouldn't do that in front of everybody in the grocery store. I'm going to kick your ass. I still remember that. God.
Oh, yeah.
I was never so upset in my entire life as I was then.
Buddy.
Don't mess with my space. But no, Mr. Cooch, he's not one of those Jeff Michael guys. Came in as was a helper in a beer truck. Next thing you know, he just worked his way. He was another one of my testers in pre-sell.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh, the stuff we tested to make sure we had it right. I had the right guys in the right place. They had the perseverance, the competitiveness as far as we wanted to see. And they had the know-how as far as going and how to handle the people, and especially our retailers. Because as I told you earlier, is that nobody in Kansas City, they thought the word pre-sell was just a bad word in the beer business. And we had to teach them all that it's really not, but we have to do it this way. And Rick was one of the guys that got us started on a damn thing. We got that thing rolling. Of course, the rest is history from that. But then Rick worked his way up. He was unit sales manager with me, oversaw a number of our pre-sell staff and drivers. And then when things evolved with the chain department, lo and behold, calling on those independent convenience stores, which is unique in Kansas City. Kansas City, most markets, they're all just one big chain, 7-Eleven, Circle K, Quick Trip. And that's what's so unique about Kansas City is we have chains, but we don't have chains. We have groups.
Yeah, they're not as dominant. Yeah.
And just calling on the different groups between Wood Oil, our friends at Fast Stop, our friends at Minute Mart, which Cooch has taken that chain and owns that damn place, and looking how we can make ourselves get stronger and better with all these individual groups. And it pans out because as independent side of these convenience stores, the ones have been growing for us a lot, more so than, of course, when you're the big guy like Quick Trip. When you're big, and it's tough for a big guy to continue to grow.
Right, yeah.
But these little guys just keep growing because they're taking something from someplace else or getting a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But I tell you what, Cooch has been tearing that thing up for a long time. He got new responsibilities here this past 18 months. Now he's calling on Quick Trip, our number one chain. At one time, our number one chain was Osco.
Osco,
we sold 475,000 cases of beer to Osco, now known as CVS.
Mm-hmm.
Now we sold 14,000 cases.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, let's see, I think when Quick Trip was going, when I was calling, it was 120,000. Now they're doing 450,000 cases with us. So you can see how the flip-flop, how things kind of go. Things do change as time goes along.
Crazy.
It is the craziest thing, Aaron. And Cooch is calling on Dustin over there at QT at the district office here in Kansas City, doing a great job with him. Of course, they're going through some pains too, trying to find people to come work for those guys and get things done. And they're just everybody right now is just trying to find a way to keep things going the way that to get back to the old ways of 2019, but they're going to get there sooner or later. But the responsibilities, people understand this, that chain department, what they have to do to go out, new presentations, set up a pricing. Here's all the information you need to get put up in your system. Set up stuff in your system. I mean, it's just people just go to the back door. Here it is. It doesn't work that way.
Or manipulate their system.
Or manipulate their system is right. But Cooch, like I said, when Rick started with me, not married. Married Miss Stephanie Schmidt, a lovely young lady. Two sons, one's in college, the other one's getting out of high school.
Yes. Yep.
Oh, my gosh. Like I said, that's just part of being in the business as long as I've had and watching these young folks that propelled us down at High Life Sales Company out on Front Street to where we're at today, having their own families, raising their own families, and being in a beer business and being able to do that. And that's what's so unique about this company is that the long-term people we have with us has been astounding as time has gone along, even as tough as it is right now, looking at what could we do to make things more favorable for the younger folks to come in here and think about a career in the beer business.
Yeah.
Because when we look at a family operation, our levels are very few. As I told some new kids the other day, if you look at this building, there's only three stories. There is no penthouse in this building. There is no surge here. As you ever go to, say, a Philip Morris or a Procter & Gamble or something like that, you can get to the Ivy Towers when you go do that. But there's a price you'll have to pay to get to that spot.
Right.
And I saw that price paid back in my days with the brewery. And you heard me talk about this when I left the brewery to come down to High Life Sales Company. Is because as it was family-oriented, I wanted to be with my family. I didn't want to be traveling. And I saw my friends who ended up staying with the brewery, who divorced once, twice, just didn't have the whereabouts, but they just wanted to do that. I didn't want to do that. And like I said, having Cooch here since day one of his career and watching him grow with the company being in the chain department and such. Other opportunities come up, Aaron, just like anything else. If anything ever makes this place bigger, there's other opportunities for everybody, including him and you, with this company, because it's going to happen. I know it's going to happen sooner than later. And there'll be some great things going forward from here, but you know, Cooch, like I said, it's been fun sitting back and listening to him. He coached football, too. I can't even imagine coaching football, sitting up there in the press box. You know, doing Little League is one thing. He was coaching actual high school football there for a little bit.
Which you guys afforded me the opportunity to do, which is awesome.
And so you got to do that. My gosh, okay. Go mold these kids and tell them how they got to go, grow up these days. I always loved the competitive nature of Mr. Cooch. Always loved it. And like you said, again, we're cut from the same cloth. I don't lose.
I want to lose. I hate losing more than I like winning, I can tell you that.
Oh, my goodness. We learned a few things from losing, but one is I'll never lose again. I don't like losing. But no, Cooch, I think he's been a great asset to High Life Sales Company since the day when he walked into the place and to today. And I can't believe I'm leaving you behind.
Why?
I had to pass on my whistle to you.
You might need it. Might need it.
You
might go get you a coaching gig.
Oh, gosh. That's just what I need. Something else for my wife. Come on. Go do something. Get away. Get away from me. Oh, gosh.
Well, John, thank you for all the opportunities over the years.
Well, Cooch,
I know you're going to have a great retirement.
I'm looking forward to it. As the time gets nearer, as much as I was fighting it, I'm starting to
embrace it.
Relish it a little bit. But I'm going to be pretty busy because I get to go watch college football right off the bat. Right. So that helps me out right there. And I'm expecting my son to get me a sideline pass for that damn game, too, so I can sit down there and watch all the collisions take place going, give me a helmet.
There we go.
Give me a helmet.
Helmet or the headset, one of the two.
But Coach, you've been great. Thank you so much for what you've been doing for all these years, Rick.
Thank you.
Without a doubt, you've been the best, buddy.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you so much, John.
And finally, president of the company and incoming chief operations officer, Mr. Steve Moss.
Well, I guess I saw Steve walk it after I saw this massive amount of people come flying through. I'm going, what in the heck's going on? I saw Matt Moore come in and go, what's he picking up point of sale for? Then I saw Shrug and I saw that. Then I saw you come walking in, Steve. And it gave me a chance to sit back and reflect a little bit. You know, in 1984, I walked in the High Life Sales Company on Front Street. And your father, your grandfather, and your cousin, and you're just a young kid at that time. But I said, as I walked in that door the first day, I'm going to change this place. I will do everything I can to make this place successful. I'm going to do everything I can to make this place be bigger than it is. And as you walked in, I just started thinking about your grandfather and your dad and your cousin and how much I learned from the three of them. They're all so different and also not potentially, but so powerful in each of the entities they were so strong in, with Rick, with his organization and his structure with regards to rules and regulations. Your father, who taught me the basis of what a financial sheet should look like, what his expectations are, and what needs to be done, how to look at things. And then your grandfather coming in and telling me the day after I became general manager, and you heard me say this, there's three things you can do for me, Mr. Kane. One is increase my gross profit. Two, decrease my expenses. Or three, a combination of the both, and you and I will get along just fine. Those words just placated inside my head for such a long period of time as we evolved. And then, like I said, looking at Stephen, as growing up in the business, Steve's a beer guy. He's beer blood. He's 80, the company's going to be 90 years old next year. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
1932 to 2022, 90-year-old company. But watching how things evolved, and the reason I when I saw you walk in, I kind of caught myself. Because we're at, and when Steve came in, he cut the yard. He's been locked up in keg coolers. He was a pre-salesman. He was a unit sales manager. He did all that stuff and then was put in the position as president. Boom, you're here. And like I said, when you sit back and sitting down with Steve and going, all right, what do we need to do? How do we go about doing things a little different? Steve understands the precedent we had going on. We're a 2.2 million case operation at that time. I remember sitting down with Steve and saying, we got to find a way to get bigger. We have one supplier. We got Boston Beer Company. We have Guinness. We got to figure a way to get bigger. Steve took that to heart and was able to navigate, and that took a lot out of him. I know it did, and negotiate the deal that brought us here in 2007.
But we did that together, though. That wasn't me. That we were arm in arm and leg in leg and brain in brain and meeting suppliers, meeting people, shaking hands, and doing all that stuff together. So,
but Steve had the tough part. He had to convince a father and a cousin why this was the right thing to spend this kind of money to come in here and do this business, this piece of business. That was not easy. It was not, because you're talking about a debt-free operation sitting down there on Front Street. Everybody was comfortable with everything the way it was going. But in the long term of things, how are you going to survive? You got to get bigger. We couldn't keep doing what we were doing, especially with the one supplier that we dealt with at that time, which was Miller Brewing Company, looking at all the things that were going up and down and the crazy zinny things that were happening there. See, we got the deal done. And then in 2007, we stepped in here. We have not looked back since then.
Nope, not at all.
And
it's been a great ride over here.
It has, Steve. And I'm telling you what, like I said, and the opportunities that your family has provided me, I'm save some of my speech for later on too. But you know, Aaron's heard it. I was able to, there's a lot of people have been able to raise families because of the Moss family and High Life Sales Company, Central States Beverage Company. I raised three kids. I got to go home at night to see my kids, even though some nights were really late, sometimes really later than it's supposed to be. But I got home. I got to raise my kids. I got to be around my kids. I got to formulate my kids. I got to be around my kids' friends. I knew who they were. And at the same time, I was able to do the job that needed to be done to keep this place expanding, looking at what we need to do. How do we get to the next level? What needs to be done? How do we anticipate this happening? What do we do with all this stuff you and I have been through the last 24 months with just getting through with all of our technology, and then a pandemic, and then a polar vortex, and a cyber attack, and shortage of products, and everything like that. God, can they throw anything else at us? And yet, we persevere. I just can't say enough about your grandfather, your father, your cousin, and you, Stephen, just due to the fact you allowed me to just lead this company, this most wonderful company, for the past, how long have I been general manager? See, 29 years as general manager, 8 years as your sales manager. And looking what we've all done as a company, looking at this campus, looking at the respect that we have from all of our suppliers that come in to visit us, who want to be here, how many people want to come be our their distributor for them. We've done some good things that are right. We made a few mistakes along the way, but I'm telling you, we learned from the mistakes. They weren't big ones. And, this place is just, it's something to be said, Stephen. I wish your keg guys, I don't know how they are, how they act, but in terms of the staffing that you have here with regards to your senior staff that you're going to be taking over here the next 3 weeks and such, this place is solid from the ground up, and includes you being up there as the president of the company and the new chief operating officer. It's solid. And the big thing is to make sure our suppliers keep up with what we anticipate them needing. I hold their freaking arms to the fire and say, hey, guys, I expect this from you. And they need to. And the suppliers need to step up and continue to do the things, because we do the things right for them. And I don't see that changing. But it's been what a hell of a run, Steve. You've heard me say this a couple of weeks, the same thing. I don't know where my off switch is going to be. I'll have to figure that out when it all comes down to it. And I'm looking forward to this evening, sitting down with my staff and their spouses, as well as you and Aaron. And is your mom coming tonight?
And my dad. Oh, yeah, he's coming. Yeah, everybody's coming.
Oh, good gosh.
All but Rick. They won't let him out, unfortunately. But he's yeah. But you were saying, you know, how you were adding up the days, adding up the years, and you know, if you do that math, that's 37 years, I believe.
37 years coming up.
So that, you know, for perspective for me, that I was 8 years old. So, you know, I walk in and, you know, I see this man that's just larger than life. And, you know, when you're 8 year old, everybody's larger than life, but, you know, and you still are larger than life. And, you know, I couldn't have asked for, you know, a better mentor in the business to teach me all those things, to have this business grow and move forward and get better and be where I am today. And, you know, I couldn't have done it without you, for sure. I mean, that is, that's a big part of my life. You know, like I said, I was 8. I'm 45 now, and it's like I said, you're still larger than life, and you always will be. That's who John Kane is. So, you know, thank you for everything that you've done and gotten us to where we are. So, and we could not have done it without you. So,
well, thank you for that, Steve. And like I said again, it's just, I can't tell how much of a pleasure it's been. It really has, because I again, there were some. I made mistakes. I knew that. And the foresight of your, not only you, but your father and your cousin saying, all right, let's move forward and allow me to continue to run this place and get better and better and better and better. And to the point right now, it's like, Stephen, I don't know what else there is to do, buddy, other than I don't know what else to do.
We're in a good spot right now.
Mr. Moss. Get ready for the Topo Chico seltzer coming in next year. Hopefully we'll see the Yingling thing coming around next year. And that's going to put new pressures on you. Where do I put this stuff? Where am I going to put this stuff?
Maybe we'll build more buildings. Who knows?
That's the thing of those long-term, those, that five-year plan. It's like, where do we see this? I never thought I'd see the day there'd be beer back out in the breeze-through again after we built the 100,000-square-foot expansion. I never thought we would see that. And lo and behold, there it is.
I never thought we'd have a recording studio here in its own, you know, its own space and a building that's, you know.
Look what we got. Mr. Mosh, I tell you what, it's amazing what's been built here. It really is. And it's I'd put this place up against any other distributorship in the country, what we've got going on and the people we have working here. And it's just a great experience. It's going to be tough, like you said, the last day, put everything on the table, kind of walk away. And next night, I always told these guys that if you see an old guy in the back end stocking a cooler, don't worry about me. I'm just doing my thing. But thank you very much, Steve, for my career. The career I thought would last me 8 years, that was 37 years ago. And because it's been challenging for me, and it's been fun for me, too, because of the challenges we've been able to push ourselves through. Sometimes so there were a couple of days it wasn't fun, and we persevered through all that mess. But I remember there was one time, I can bring this up. This is unique. I'm Steve, and I probably don't know this story. There was a hard time we were going through down on Front Street. It was the called the Bob Peel wrath was coming in. We had, at that time, Philip Morris was projecting to do X amount of cases and all that, and all of a sudden, the brewery is ramping up our days of inventory. It goes from the record 25 to 28 days. All of a sudden, it's 45 days. It's 55 days worth of inventory. So the building is just full of beer all over the place. And we had a bad 6 to 8 week run, either weather related, something happened, the beer sat there. All of a sudden, I'm looking at all this beer that's going to go out of date. I mean, there's a lot of it. And so, of course, fire sale, get this stuff going, let's get this stuff going. And it was right before, I think it was right after Thanksgiving, word gets out, we got a problem. The Reverend Peel comes in with his carnage of people, do a retail call survey, go check code dates. What am I going to do? I said, got my hat, we're caught. I was like, hey, I don't have a place for the beer to go. And I remember going through just trying to keep everybody's daubers up because we're hauling out-of-date beer in from retail, stacking up over here, getting everything out of the way, make sure the place is clean the way it's supposed to be, acknowledging to our agreement. But this whole dang thing didn't evolve if it didn't push all this beer on us. Of course, it's our fault. It always comes down to our fault. So I remember coming down the Choteau Bridge one day, going over the old Choteau Bridge before they replaced it. And I was just kind of sitting there, fundamentally going through my thoughts, all right, what do I need to say today to get everybody fired up? The drivers are just wore out. Everybody's scared to death. What's going to happen next? Peel's over there laughing at everything. One of those supply relationships that I like to butt slap him but at that time. But it turned out to be a good friend at all. And it's either loved a distributor or hated a distributor back in those days. And there was a car in front of me at 5:30 in the morning. Can you imagine this on the Choteau Bridge? It's an actual car. It was a green 1964 Rambler. I remember it to the day. Oklahoma license plates. And of course, I'm sitting there and kind of say, okay, Lord, give me some insight. Let me know everything's going to be okay. I'll get through this. I've been through stuff. I know I can get through this. And the car drives off, going across the Choteau traffic way. And I look at the license plate on the back of the car. It said, okay, JK. Never looked back.
You always knew it'd be fine after that moment.
After that, I said, somebody is definitely listening. A Rambler at 5:30 in the morning with an Oklahoma plate, and it said OKJK on a license plate. And I will always and forever remember that. And from that point, I walked in that place. I own that distributorship ever that. I mean, we're going to be fine, guys. We're going to do this, and this. Get through all that stuff. It got through all the anarchy of the Bob Peel days and everything like that. The rest is history. And that was just like a sullen moment when all that crap happened. It just Oh, I was so upset with that. And then the infamy of all that, then Peel calls me like, it's 60 days later. We need you to build your inventory back up again. Fuck.
No thanks.
No, uh-uh. Write me up. Go write it down. I am not doing it. Nope, that's it. He didn't even argue with me on that deal. I said, that's not right, Bob. No, not doing it. Not going to do that again. And like I said, after that, like I said, just sit back and look in what, in today's world, looking at you and Aaron sitting in your nice little, I call it your workshop here, your studio.
I'll take it.
And it's just, I don't know, it's so many great memories. I mean, just wonderful, wonderful, wonderful memories. And that's probably the only bad memory I can think of about the whole damn thing is going to that mess with Bob Peel and crew when they came in there doing tests on us and stuff like that. But we got through it. We persevered. We're here. They're gone. Remember that. Aaron, what's my always say? We will always be here. They will pass on.
Survive.
Yep. And your positivity has gotten us where we are. That is for sure. You're a very positive guy, and it's helped us out.
Led
the way.
Good, Steve. Thanks for you and your family. Thank you so much for allowing me just to be part of this great company. It really is a great company. And I can't say enough thanks for – God, can you imagine having a career doing this, being in the beer, doing something you love and wanting to get better every day. And just enjoying seeing other folks do better, like you, like Aaron, like you, Stephen. I was watching you grow up. Look what you're at now. You're getting ready to do some great things coming ahead. And a lot of things to do, Stephen. A lot of things to do. Always a lot of things to do, Stephen.
There's always a long list.
And if there's anything I do to help you out or anybody High Life Sales Company or Central States, just don't even hesitate to call me.
Yeah, you'll be on speed dial. You're at the top of the list. How do I do this? How do I do that?
Oh, let's see. Let me reflect on that. What did I do then? Okay. It's all about the people. And thank God I've been able to surround myself with great people to work with you, work for you, do the job that needs to be done day in and day out. I think that's the big thing. Everybody knows their roles. And do your role to the best of your ability. If you need something, let me know.
Is it a bad time
to say that I didn't have that recording at all over the last 3 hours? I'm kidding. Got it all.
Well, like I said, Aaron, this has been a thrill for me. Like I said, I was not expecting the line of people coming through here like this. Here's the highlights, here's the lowlights, and thank you very much. I'm looking forward to my new challenge moving forward, but
shoot.
This has really been great for me. Allow me to sit back and reflect. And like I said, when I saw Steve walk in, I just...
Yeah, this was supposed to be a surprise.
Yeah.
Surprise! Yeah.
It was. So, it was. I just who are all these people? What are they doing here?
Yeah.
But like I said, when you walk through that door, Steve, I go, damn. It started up here. It's here now. And it's like, yeah, it's time. That's when it hit me. It's almost like Miller time, and it's only lunch. God.
Ounces of Information by Central States Beverage Company.
Anyways, okay. Other than that, the standard rule of procedure, right here next to your mouth, as close as possible.
I got it.
Perfect. And you can hear yourself quite well. Is that volume okay?
It's good.
Okay. All right. Well, good deal.
I like when you play with the knobs.
It's a weird thing to tell me before I jump right into this.